Hey, everybody! The Joe Rogan Experience podcast is brought to you by the Fleshlight. If you go to joerogan.net, click on the link for the Fleshlight, and enter in the code name Rogan, you will get 15% off the number one sex toy for men. And then you can watch pornography with it, and then you shoot your little loads in it, and you're all happy now.
Big loads.
Aren't you happy? Buckle up, bitches. Tom Segura's in the house.
The Joe
Holla!
Rogan Experience.
All my girls back. Shazam, bitches. Welcome back. Welcome back, Tom Segura. What's up?
Yo,
What's up, brother?
what's up, man?
It's good to have you, buddy.
Thanks for having me, man.
We're gonna be doing the Ice House in Pasadena this weekend. So that's a fun place, man. That's one of those old school places. I think they've been open for 30 years now or something crazy.
Yeah, they've been open over. I think, don't they claim to be the oldest comedy club in the nation?
I think they might be. It's them and like then the Comedy and Magic Club is right up in there too.
Yeah.
And then the store, I think. But if you go there, it's one of those places that has like it's a like a fucking comedy museum as well as a stand-up comedy club.
Really cool. That's the coolest part.
Yeah, because you're walking around and you see headshots from like the 70s, man. Headshots from the 80s.
And contracts.
Yeah.
I saw a David Letterman contract last time I was there.
Yeah.
And his social security number is on it, but
no
it's covered
way.
Like by the frame. And I'm like, damn, if you really wanted David Letterman's social security number, you'd just steal his picture and break that frame.
Oh, you just gave somebody an
wow.
idea.
Wow. Why'd you give somebody that idea?
Hey, I'm giving
How
out
about
a
you bring that up to us before the podcast? Then we say, yeah, maybe we shouldn't talk about that on the air. And you go, yeah, I guess you're right. Whoops.
Now you got to talk to the Ice House.
I'll be there tomorrow night. Tickets on sale, free coupon code on my Twitter.
They have other contracts.
They didn't alter
too.
It at all? They didn't.
I don't know. They might have, but I was looking at it and I was like, holy shit, why is that just sitting there, right? Like, that seems like they would know that by now, you know? It has to be altered.
Yeah, it must be altered. I would assume.
Hopefully.
Jesus Christ.
Unless I'm just a crook looking at fucking headshots and I'm like, wow.
They busted a bunch of those anonymous cats, huh?
Yeah,
a
shitload of them.
Yeah.
Some in California, too.
And what do they charge them with?
I don't know. That's like cyber terrorism or something like that.
Is that
that's,
what that is?
Yeah, that's hardcore federal
what
shit.
What did they do exactly? I know they went after companies they thought were bad and
they hacked PayPal. I think they did, or they fucked with PayPal somehow.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
They fuck with.
And they like started taking people's PayPals and like buying things on Amazon. Like, they, but it was all fun stuff. Like they would buy like diapers to an
right.
old person or something like that.
Wow.
And things like that. But it was hacking PayPal, which I guess can be considered like a bank or something like that. So that would be a federal crime, I would imagine.
Yeah, they're fucked, huh?
Yeah.
You get in real trouble for that shit now, I guess.
Cyber crime is legit now. It's like
it's terrorism. Like,
yeah.
Do you remember they used to not have laws for this stuff? Like, because it didn't, like, when people would do things like this for the first time, and people would, they would get like, we don't really have a law yet for breaking into this type of account, because they didn't know this shit existed. So they had to pass all these laws. We still have to pass laws for new crimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
technology
yeah.
allows for new crimes to take place.
Yeah. Crimes that didn't exist before. They weren't
right.
possible before. You remember when they first started using those things over the phone? Well, they would have tones that you could call and use over the phone, and it would like hack the phones.
Yeah,
what the fuck was that? Yeah, how did that work?
I can't even remember. I don't.
It
I
was
never.
Just something you could do to a phone by sending a tone through it, and that certain tone would interact with the machine on the other side. And I don't know what the fuck that it allowed you to do, but just the fact that somebody figured that out, man.
Yeah,
people are so creepy. They'll try to exploit every little, you know, in any little system.
Yeah.
There's got to be some way to make money off this.
That's why security
some way to hack it.
Security never becomes foolproof because
yeah.
when you develop a new security system, it becomes someone's mission
mm-hmm.
to break that. So then you just make it as good as it can be, and then you have to evolve that.
You kind of need those guys, though, because if you don't have those guys, you don't have any realistic sense of how secure your data is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you need some fucking psychos going after your shit. You know, you need, if psychos go after your website, then you know. Because you can't just have your employees, well, we're going to test it from the outside and see if we can whack in. Nah, you don't have enough motivation, stupid.
Yeah.
You need to be hating the government.
Did you tweet that article about the guy who is going to prison now for, like, life or something for hacking his neighbor's
Yeah, yeah, he's going for 18 years. Well, this he was terrorizing the family. Yeah, that was he was a crazy,
amazing
person.
Story. But
horrible
like,
story.
You hear shit about that?
It's scary, scary
that
story.
Somebody can just do that. That's terrifying.
I think as a business, the only way to protect yourself from like these like hacks, like Anonymous and stuff like that, is just to have a shitload of cats on your website. You know, so if it's like Wells Fargo Bank, just put cats all over the place. Because I think that's how crazy this shit is, like this Anonymous and stuff is. It seems like they're only attacking people unless you don't get the internet, you know? It's almost like, hey, if you like cats and if you like piracy and torrents and shit like that, then you're on our side. But if you're – it's almost like it's like a gang, like an internet gang. You know
what are you saying? I don't know. I'm not understanding what you're saying.
Like, it's connections to like 4chan as an example,
right.
And things like that. Even if it's not, they're not on in 4chan or whatever. Like, it's
4chan supports them. They support 4chan.
Yeah, and then Lowell Sack or like supports Anonymous. It's almost like you just almost have to be in some kind of gang and just have a lot of cats on your website. I think to protect you.
What is the cats on the website?
That's what just because that's like saying, hey, I'm on the internet too. I like cats and hamburgers and
what the fuck are you talking about? You really need to go to a doctor. If you think anything in that sentence made any sense, you need to go to a doctor.
I did not follow.
All right. You want me to explain it?
No, definitely not.
The
definitely
thing
not.
I was saying, that, no, let's move on from that.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Fucking cats. The thing, the best thing,
I know what you're saying, though, that it seems like they're in kind of a gang. And it does seem like...
Sorry, I honestly didn't follow. I'm sorry.
All right. You know the internet. What's popular on the internet?
Cats.
Cats and shit like that. Like,
right. Are cats really that popular on the internet?
Fuck yeah. It's like, yeah. It's porn, cats,
really?
Business.
Is this what happened to Egypt when Egypt went down? Saw
they had,
cat worship?
They had a cat.
Are they going to look at us the same way? You know, maybe this is what cat worship is.
Meow.
I mean, if you looked around people's fucking houses, of those your cat, your thing that you have with the cat with the dynamite on it.
Yeah.
That lucky cat.
Death.
Think about how many porcelain cats are all throughout people's homes.
Tons.
There's
yeah,
a lot
millions.
Of them.
Yeah.
There's
tons.
A lot. If you like, if archaeologists came here from the future,
like,
they might say, well, they were this weird cat worshipping group of
cats
fucking
ran
non-environmentally
fucking
conscious
yeah.
freaks. Yeah, cats were running shit. And then they would find out about the toxoplasma shit, and they would make some half-ass hypothesis that the reason why we were so fascinated with cats is we all had toxo.
Sure.
And that's what made us all go crazy.
Do you think that we wrong, like, inaccurately get an idea of, like, past civilizations? Like,
I think
wildly
have
off?
To.
Like, you have to be, right? Like, where you're like, here's what they used to do.
Well, what fucks
like
my mind, man?
40,000 years ago?
What fucks my mind is shit like Sumer. Because there's only a fucking handful of people who can read that shit. That's cuneiform, I think it's called, and it's these weird lines, and man, it takes forever to translate that shit, and there's a lot of discrepancies. That's why that whole Zechariah Sitchin movement, if you're not aware of that, this is, you know, the Zechariah Sitchin shit, right? That's that he believes that in his study of the Sumerian text, and this guy was like a legit scholar on ancient languages. And he believed that through his study of the ancient Sumerian text, he believed that it was a detailed account of how the human beings were created by an advanced intellect called the Anunnaki, and that they mixed their DNA with us. And he says this is all in this ancient text, and it's very disputed. There's a lot of people that don't agree with him. A lot of like mainstream, you know, scholars from that era, they don't agree with him. But this guy stuck to his fucking guns, and he believed that the entire human race was created by these, you know, these things called the Anunnaki. And this is all written down. What really fucks my mind is whether or not that's what they wrote down, or who knows what crazy person wrote whatever you're reading.
Yeah.
You know, what you're reading doesn't necessarily represent the whole world. What if you stumbled onto a pile of ancient Stephen King books? You know, I mean, who the fuck knows? Who the fuck knows what exactly you're reading? But it fucks my mind that you can go that far back with people. It's like you can really trace progress, but things get lost somewhere along the way.
For
and
sure.
There's a few places where it's like they'll just stumble on some shit and go, whoa, where'd this come from? Troy? You mean Troy is real?
Yeah.
This is a real city? What the fuck? Now, recently, Atlantis, they found Atlantis in Spain. They're almost positive. It has the concentric rings. It looks just like it. It's in the right area. And there's all these...
Really?
Yeah, there's also... There's also some interesting evidence that there was models of Atlantis that resembled this place, and they had been passed down, like, in the images, so closely matched, and had all these symbols in it that represented, like, symbols of Atlantis, and it's just way too close. Like, a lot of scholars are getting on board with this. They think they found it. So it's like, so much shit is, they're always finding ancient shit. It's like, the civilization has gone so fucking far, but we can't really follow it in a straight line.
No. Well, especially after, like, before a certain time.
Yeah, when you get, like, 2000 BC, oh, man, son, how long ago is that?
And you notice, too, you know? That when those things get, like, really old ones, they get, like, they're like, this is a civilization that's 40,000 years old, and they'll you know, they'll read something on the wall. They never, like, take into account the possibility that it's art. It's always like, they're like, this is the document, this is like documentation showing that they loved whales and that they would fuck here and talk to the sun here and then eat the whale. And like, this is what they did in their day. And you go, but what if it was just somebody painting or drawing?
Yeah.
Like, they never, that's never really a possibility.
Well, when human beings first figured out how to communicate, for sure, right away they started lying. Right away.
Right.
I mean, as soon as they realize they can lie and get away with things, and then you don't get in trouble for stuff, people just start lying. Yeah. For sure. It's just, it has to be old as fuck. It seems like just an inherent, like, escape door in consciousness, the ability to communicate, but then give deceptive communication and fuck with other people. So from right away, people were probably untrustworthy, and especially in their depictions of the past. Especially when they talk about, like, things that happen. I mean, Jesus Christ, everybody knows that the winners write the history books. And, you know, back then the history books were written on animal skins.
Sure.
You know, I mean, who the fuck knows what really happened? You know, it's like, it's very shady at best.
And you never portray yourself really in a negative light.
Never.
Or shameful.
Yeah, no one's a bad guy. if it's you. I mean, that's, of course, there's, you know, different cultures, and they have different depictions of the same story, and you can kind of extrapolate from all those who's probably got it right. But it's a lot of gray area, man.
Yeah.
You're talking about, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago. And then they constantly have to move the date. They found that place in Turkey recently, over the last decade or so, I believe. It's called Göbekli Tepe, and it predates anything by, like, 5,000 years. It's like 12, 13,000 years old.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck. Like, we didn't even think people were making shit back then. They thought that back then people were just strictly hunter-gatherers. So there's all sorts of, like, and they don't know that about anything about that culture. They're like, what is this? You know, why do they have lizards on these rocks that they've carved out? Yeah. They have these giant columns with lizards on them. This one's got a sheep on it. What the fuck were they doing?
Yeah.
You know, is this, like, just all the stuff they eat? You know, what is this?
The lines of Nazca, have you ever seen
those?
Man.
Dude.
Those are amazing.
That's a trip.
And they're so enormous, but the whole thing, I mean, I know this is obviously what everyone says about it, but it really blows your mind when you think about it. The only way you could see what you're doing is if you're in the air. Like, there's no other way to see how well you did this. And these things are so old that, like, how could you check it out? I mean, the lines are as wide as roads. Wide, with turns, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect lines. The only way, like, you see crop, like, they do it on farms, right? Like, they'll do, like, fun things. But the only way they're seeing what they're doing is somebody's in a plane and radioing, like, now here. And drive 6 yards.
Well, the guys who make the crop circles don't have to do that. The guys who make the crop circles, what they figure out how to do is they just mark some numbers down. They figure out, like, distances. Like, this is guy, they call themselves the circle makers. And they've shown that you can make certain, you know, certain pretty intricate crop circles. But what's amazing about this is we know that there's air flight now. We know that people are going to see these crop circles. I mean, if people made these things for fun or for hijinks, if that's why they're making these crop circles, these beautiful designs, just to make people go, whoa, what the fuck? We know that people are going to see them from a plane. Mm-hmm. So the idea that these can only be seen from the sky, it's like, who are you making them for?
Right.
And the fact that they're thousands and thousands of years old, to the point where they don't really know exactly.
Is that, do we not even know?
They don't really know. No, they don't know why. They don't know who. They don't know what it symbolizes. They don't know if the fucking mountain was flattened out, by the way. You know, there's an area where the Nazca lines is that it looks like it was fucking excavated. Excuse me. It looks like it was excavated. It looks like it was flattened out. It looks like it was sculpted. It looks like it was worked on by machines. I don't know if it was, but I wouldn't be fucking completely surprised that there wasn't some very sophisticated level of humanity at one point in time that died off and dropped back. You know, I don't know if they were ever as far as we were, but who knows, man? When you see shit like that, there might have been some people flying fucking planes 3 or 4,000 years ago. That might have been real.
That could be.
It might be. It's fucking. Why else would they draw those things, man? Why would they do that?
They're incredible.
They're giant.
Massive. And that, yeah, it's what's the purpose?
Those are from the sky. You're supposed to look at it from the sky. Yeah. You know, you're doing it just for the satisfaction of knowing that someone can look at it from the sky. Really? And this is going to be like a common practice in a place where it looks like there's runways.
And it's also, it's not only you have to see it from the sky, it's out of the way in the sky.
Yeah.
Like that shit is way out of the way.
Maybe back then, though, you didn't really understand life. So you were like, I know there's something up there that it storms on us. We have heard thunder. I am going to make a sign to appease to the god. You know, so you might be not like a plane, but it's more like a ritual,
That's definitely a real possibility. Absolutely.
Sure, that's possible. Like the thing that's more that you have to consider more is the straight lines. They look like runways. They're all over the place up there.
Huge.
It looks like goddamn Logan Airport. That's what it looks like. It looks like an airport. Like there's all these runways.
What's those big statues that had like were big rectangles that had their mouths open, and they had like you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And they used it in the Gradius video game.
They're on an island.
The Easter Islands?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a trip too. Yeah, that's. I mean,
that shit's awesome.
They struggle to figure out how they moved those stones thousands and thousands of years ago. How they cut them so well.
Machu Picchu's like that too.
Yeah.
Like those stones are no shit. Like the size of like the wall behind you.
Yeah.
And they lay in to another stone like this.
Yeah.
Like you can't slide a piece of paper between them. And you go, you look at these like boulders basically. They're smooth. They're like, they're shaped. They're massive. So you go like, this would take hundreds of people. And then how would you get it to fit into the next rock where it looks like they're made for each other?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Unbelievable.
It's pretty deep shit.
Yeah, and you see how I've been there. I've been there 3 times to that place, to Machu Picchu.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Is it a cool trip? Like, would you recommend going as a vacation?
Absolutely.
Did it blow your mind?
Every time.
Yeah?
Every time.
What is it like? What does it feel like when you're up there? Isn't it, first of all, isn't it like 10,000 feet above sea level, something crazy?
I don't think it's that high up. It's in the Andes. You fly to Cusco in the south of Peru, and then you take a train from Cusco to...
By the way, if I was a single girl and you were telling me all this, I would be so attracted to you right now. I know. I'd be like, he's a man of the world. He's been to Machu Picchu. He's so amazing. I think I can get him to go vegan.
I highly recommend him, Merlot.
And then I'd be like, I jerked off to fart porn.
7,900 feet above sea level. That's where
it is. Pretty high up, man.
Yeah. And they have no idea how old that shit is either, right?
They have estimations for that. I mean, it was definitely discovered by... I think they said that they were there in the 1560s, they think it was built. I think it was 1560s.
You know, that's one of those disputed ones with that Graham Hancock guy. And I know a lot of people are like, this is pseudoscience. But he's the guy that predates all these like structures. Like he's got a thing on the Great Sphinx with this other guy, Dr. Robert Schock out of University of Massachusetts, or Boston University, rather. And they think that the Sphinx is like thousands and thousands of years older than everybody thinks it is.
Yeah.
Than conventional Egyptologists claim it is. Well, he's also got a thing about Machu Picchu, that they think at one time Machu Picchu was actually on the shores of some water.
Really?
Yeah, that it was on the shores of a river or the shores of a lake or an ocean or something like that.
It is stunning.
Fuck.
The thing is, like, it really puts in, like, this is true about everything, that the magnitude and, like, the greatness of something, you can't measure it. It doesn't matter how many videos or photos you see.
You have to see it.
I mean, it's like, it's whether, you know, it's like seeing a band live or seeing a person who's like just has some.
See him, Tom Segura, the Ice House this
at
weekend.
The Ice
Friday,
House,
Saturday night.
Friday and Saturday.
Two shows, sold out both nights, bitches. Sorry.
Did you tag the statues?
What's that?
Did you tag the statues?
No. Yeah.
How dare you even suggest it? Did anybody ever dare
the thing is they're cool
put
about
graffiti
it
on those things?
Oh, yeah.
Man, no.
I'm sure.
Did you see graffiti? Have you seen graffiti? No.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, like, dude, that's like a sacred place.
That would be awful.
Tell us the story. So you, I'm sorry, I was making fun of you being so attractive with your knowledge. You get in a bus or a train and you get somewhere. So what, how does it go?
You fly into Cusco, which is way up in the mountains.
And this is all in Peru.
In Peru, yeah. So when you arrive in Cusco, you're up high already. Cusco is pretty high up in the mountains, and you get like powerful headaches. You know, headaches you get in like high altitude places. But I'm pretty sure it's higher than Tahoe or any place like that where you're like, oh man, like a head hurts because you have serious oxygen deprivation. And in Peru, they chew coca leaves and they drink coca tea. The leaves that are used to make cocaine.
I had that shit. Mate de coco?
Yeah.
I did not like it. I've never done cocaine. I've always been terrified of it.
Yeah.
But I knew that people, when they did coke, they couldn't shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
So I drank this tea, and I couldn't shut the fuck up.
Really?
And I was saying that. I was with Doug Stanhope. And I was telling him, like, dude, I can't shut the fuck up. I go, I can't shut the fuck up.
Can you imagine him on cocaine? Oh. That seems insane, dude.
Please. Yeah.
I would love to have a video of you on cocaine.
That is not
for
me.
He would be fired up, dude.
I don't think I want to know that's even possible.
Yeah.
I don't want to be any more intense than I am. I'm good. Yeah. I don't need that shit.
That's a horror movie right there. Joe Rogan on cocaine. This summer, he turns into...
Doing stand-up.
On cocaine? Just all angry and fucking like a punk rock
And somebody heckles you and you just
fucking... Shut the fuck up!
Throw the mic down. You like Ron Artest, you just jump out in the stands and start beating somebody.
Are you accusing Ron Artest of doing cocaine?
Maybe.
Wow.
You know what?
Strong words.
You know what Joe Rogan on cocaine would look like?
What's up, Ron?
What's up, Ron?
Step Timmy.
Get at me. Put me on your show.
Joe Rogan on cocaine would look like that Rise of the Planet Apes trailer that you haven't seen yet.
I have seen that. I have seen that.
Isn't that fucking insane?
When you said a monkey movie, I thought you meant a documentary.
No.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes looks like the shit.
Amazing.
August 5th, bitches.
When that one like jumps out of like a helicopter or something.
I'm a little child, bro. I'll take Planet of the Apes. You can redo that shit for me every 2 years. I'm a dummy. You can have a new script where I know what's going to happen every couple of years, and you got me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to tell you right now. I commit myself to all you people making Planet of the Apes movies. I commit myself. Come out with a new one every 2 years, and you got me. I promise you. I will buy the Blu-ray. I will support you. I will talk about how good it is on Twitter. Please, keep coming with the crazy monkey movies.
Crazy monkey movies are good.
They're the shit, dude.
This one, so it looks like these researchers like are fucking with apes, right? And they break out and...
Well, this is sort of what's supposed to be the prequel to Planet of the Apes. This is what caused the problems.
Oh.
The idea of Planet of the Apes is a guy goes to the future, right? And he lands in the future and the world's run by monkeys.
What do you think about the CGI? It doesn't...
It's fucking incredible.
Yeah, it's now it does have that little fake look, and I'm
a
sure...
A little bit. It's still got a little bit of that I Am Legend shit going on when you look in their faces.
Yeah.
They don't quite have it, man. It's interesting that they can't do living things quite right.
Wow. I wonder if there's going to be any heartwarming moments. It seems like there's going to be some heartwarming moments.
Yo, let me tell you something. If you saw a chimp that looked at you like this chimp, you would start screaming. The fact that they were all cool with that, that's just weird. If you saw that chimp would be a huge internet hit.
Oh, I didn't know Dexter Morgan was in this.
Whoa.
Wow. I haven't seen this one. This is a badass preview. Jonathan Lithgow and a...
Yeah, dude,
touching
this
moment.
This is the full one. This would shows you where they fucked up. They raised the chimp. That was their little buddy. Then they locked him up in a jail.
Oh my god!
So it's got a good fucking comeback sense to it. The chimps. You root for the chimps. You realize what cunts human beings are, and you root for the chimps.
Is that the log line for the movie?
Yes, that's the way I'm promoting it. I'm promoting it on sort of a separate underground label, sort of division of the movie. This is what we do now. We sort of do shit behind the scenes.
Wow.
That's how you promote it.
That's exciting.
Fuck these cunt people. That's our promotion.
This is one of the most amazing trailers I've ever seen, ever.
He is intense.
Yeah.
Look at this. The last thing you ever want is a chimp coming at you, man. That is the last thing you ever want. You're almost better off with a lion, because a lion's just going to kill you quick. Chimps are going to do some shit to you before you die.
Bite your fingers off.
Yeah, they're not trying to kill you. They're trying to hurt you.
Right.
They understand what makes you a person, and they don't have morals. They understand what's important to you. They understand your genitals mean a lot to you, so they bite those off.
Yeah.
They understand that your fingers are important for you to use and to make things, so they bite all those off next.
Yeah.
And they do all this without you being able to do a goddamn thing to stop it.
Nothing.
because they're so fucking strong. And once they bite one finger off, dude, you're going to be freaking out. You're going to be in shock. You're not going to be able to handle it. For him, it's another day in the park. He's been biting fingers off since he was two.
Yeah.
You know, someone steps to him wrong, he bites a couple of fingers off. That's just what they do. You know?
Strong as fuck.
Oh, you can't even wrap your head around how strong a chimp is, dude. We had a two-year-old chimp on the set of news radio. A two-year-old. A little baby-ass chimp. This thing was on my back, and it swatted me in the back a couple of times. And I swear to God, I got nervous. It made me nervous because I was thinking, like, what if a cat wanted to kill me? You know, if a cat wanted to kill me, that's terrifying, right?
Yeah.
Cats are, you know, I mean, even though they're little, like that fucking crazy thing coming at you, trying to kill you, that would be terrifying, you know? And you're way, way bigger than a cat. And I was thinking, how much bigger is this chimp than a cat? And if this chimp decided to just fuck me up, I'm not really sure I could defend myself.
Yeah.
He's a two-year-old chimp, and I'm not really sure that I would get off. And then I thought about it, and I think, my God, what must it be like when they're like 150 pounds? It must be unbelievable.
Yeah.
The amount of force they can generate with their bodies must be just shocking.
They can rip car doors off their hinges.
Yeah.
So you can lock a car door.
And they can just open it.
They can open that
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Fuck that, right?
Dude.
That lady tore with their hands. They tore her jaw out of her face. Her lower jaw came out, you know?
Oh, my God. God damn. They're like, scary. Scary fucking creatures. It's so funny that we always want to like look at them like they're real cute too, like BJ McKay, and this is my best friend Bear.
Smokey and the Bandit was the best growing up.
Smokey and the Bandit have a monkey?
Wait, what was the one with the monkey?
No, Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood had an orangutan, Every Which Way But Loose.
Yes, that's the one.
This motherfucker has no idea what he's talking
Smokey
about.
And the Bandit.
Yeah, some of the best moments of my childhood. It was that guy with the monkey. Which one?
Well,
Clint Eastwood. Oh, yeah, Burt Reynolds?
I was like five. But they all came out at the same time. There was like that car chase movie. Then there was
how many
Clint
people
Eastwood
had monkeys?
No, I think every movie in that time period had a monkey. It seemed like
that was a strong move by Clint Eastwood to go from spaghetti westerns to the badass bare knuckle fist fighter with a monkey as a pet.
Monkey, yeah,
with an orangutan. Those movies were great, man. Yeah. Every Which Way But Loose, they were great fucking movies, man.
Sure.
And what's even more fascinating about those movies is that's when he was still married to that woman, Sandra Locke, the woman who would go on to sue him, and he had to get her some sort of a deal to get
Clint
out of the
Eastwood?
Relationship. Yeah, yeah. He had to get her some sort of a deal with a production company as a part of their divorce, and he did. And then, you know, she accused him of sabotaging her projects, and her projects couldn't get going. Like, it was obvious that this guy fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, poor Clint Eastwood married this crazy broad. You know, and was with her for years, and you know she's an actress. And when they broke up, man, she just fucking went after him. And you know, you got to see the nastiness that can happen in those sort of like really public divorces between two fucking movie stars at the time. I mean, she never really worked again after that, not much. I mean, not of that level, but she was in a lot of Clint Eastwood's movies.
And the amount of money that exchanges hands in a divorce like that too.
Oh
man,
oh,
a lot of dough.
So you got to see like him with her back in the day. That's when he was still with her, you know. And it was like, wow, how weird is this? This dude like carried this chick around in a bunch of movies.
Yeah,
he, like how many movies did Clint Eastwood do with Sandra Locke? How many? It was a western, right? Wasn't there one western? And then there was Every Which Way But Loose, right? Or one of those, Any Which Way You Can. Which one was it? Both of them? Was it all of them?
I don't know.
Was she in all of them?
I don't know.
It's fascinating.
It is fascinating. You forget too, like. You know, we always like they always talk about who makes like crazy money in movies, and so if they're like, you know, so and so like got $100 million divorce, and they're like, who is it? And like Tom Cruise, you're like, yeah, well that dude's like super, like he's a money making machine. But then like Morgan Freeman, who you're like, yeah, Morgan Freeman, he's great. I mean, he's a great actor. He's been in a lot of movies. He got divorced. I think he gave I want to say like over $70 million.
Oh,
so you're like, holy shit. How much fucking money does Morgan Freeman have?
Well, you know Morgan Freeman's deal, right?
No.
Morgan Freeman is apparently banging his it's his granddaughter from his ex-wife's side, who he's not related to by blood. Yeah, yeah. Something,
good for him.
Something super creepy like that.
That's creepy.
And he started taking her to events and introducing her as his granddaughter.
Oh, that's creepy. Yeah. Yeah, that's
and
creepy.
Then somewhere along the line, it came out that he was banging her.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You
and everybody's like, what the fuck?
you're so good an actor, Morgan Freeman. I don't care.
Yeah, I know. That's how good. Maybe he was stoned, and he thinks it's really funny.
Maybe he's still stoned right now. You mean? Yeah. Listen, he. You know what? Here's what the deal is. He's like what, 70 years old?
Yeah, I think so, at least.
25-year-old pussy is so powerful. Yeah. It will get you to abandon your morals, your idea. You're like, well, yeah, you will rationalize the shit out of this. Yeah, I've known her since she was a baby, but we're not, like, related by blood.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Maybe they never even met.
That's what pussy does. Pussy was so good because he's an old man.
Yeah.
You know, and she's young and tight, and she's trying to rock him because she likes the spotlight. And she likes the fact that she's, you know, throwing some pussy at Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. Or it's the best payback ever to your ex-wife.
Or he's the one who goes after it. He could be a creep, too. You got to look at it that way.
Sure.
He could have been hawking her, you know, his whole life and waiting for, you know, her to turn 18 and then start putting it to her.
How about the dude who just married the 16-year-old? The guy from Lost?
Yeah, the guy from
Lost.
He's
51.
Woo!
She's 16.
Well, where are her fucking parents, man?
Because they were cool with it. That's the crazy part.
Shit. Your parents have to, if you're 16 in Vegas and you want to get married, you have to get, like, permission.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it was probably set up for teen pregnancies and shit like that. Somebody trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But fucking A, man.
Her parents were just like, we love Lost.
What?
It's cool. It's a great show.
Look, a guy like that. Is he done? That guy's done, right? Yeah. You can't go around marrying 16-year-olds. People are not going to want to hang out with you, man. No. This ain't the 1950s, and you're not Jerry Lee Lewis.
No.
You know what I mean? You can't marry that girl. That's crazy.
That's got to keep him from jobs, too. Like, there's a few directors or producers out there who would consider that dude for a job and then hear that and go, nah, man.
What a mess.
What's the other guy's name? Let's get him on the phone.
Yeah, listen, he's not that good.
Right?
They're going to say that.
It's not
worth
his
it.
Show.
Unless it was some sort of a reality show based on the two of them. That could work.
Yeah.
That could work. A reality show based on a 16-year-old. But it'd really be unfair to the 16-year-old because, you know, when you were 16 years old, would you really want some document out there of who you were and how you behaved when you were 16 and the whole world can look at it whenever they want? Especially when you fucked up and you married some 51-year-old dude.
Yeah.
You know, well, why should everybody be able to look into your shit? You're not really old enough to understand what the fuck that means yet. You're not really old enough to understand the ramifications of the whole world being able to look in on that. You know, so that you couldn't have a reality show with her.
I think about how little you knew when you were 16, man.
Oh my God.
I was such a fucking
douchebag.
Yeah, man. I was
Can you imagine if you had to meet yourself today and hang out with yourself?
As a 16-year-old, I'd be like, dude, seriously, just sit down.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah. Just shut the fuck up, dude.
I found
I think I'll just give myself a hug.
I found a video of myself.
You would probably need a hug.
A slow kiss.
I found a video of myself where I took a camcorder to a party. When I was 18.
Oh, my God.
Right? And it was like, I'm a senior in high school, and I walk through, and I just talk to people, and I put the camera on myself, and I'm just doing this for like 30 minutes at this party. I watched the video, I took it out, and then I broke the tape, and I burned it.
Really?
Whoa.
Yeah, and it wasn't anything like incriminating. It was just, it was like a really rapid, like instinctive response to how much I loathed seeing myself as an 18. I was like, that's fucking embarrassing. Like, I don't want anybody to see that. And I tore it up immediately. Like, I was like, not nostalgic or like, that'd be cool to show to my kid. I'd be like, I hope my kids never could find this.
Like, wow.
Because I was fucking like, hey, what's up, buddy? What's up? And then like, like turning the camera to myself. And just, it was fucking horrifying, man.
Oh, horrifying.
You think about like the shit you did when you were like, the shit you yelled out to people. And like, I was like, that's fucking embarrassing, man.
You know, the thing is, though, you're going to think it's you think it's embarrassing now, but you're going to wish once you have kids that you had.
I know. You fucked up. I know.
I actually put all my shit online, and I've had it on, you know, from when I was 15. I have a movie called Carrots that I did to, like, you know, 18. I had this movie where me and my friends just smoked weed and got drunk, and we're hanging out in this one-bedroom apartment. Like, I have all this stuff, and I just, you know what? I'm just putting it out there. I know it's embarrassing. It makes me look like shit or bad.
Well, it doesn't make you look bad.
But that's only myself telling me that. You know, it's like –
It doesn't make you look bad. Once you have children of your own and you start thinking about the process of going from being a baby to actually being a human and all the shit you have to learn along the way, then it's going to be fascinating to you.
Sure.
Then you're going to wish you had it. Because, yeah, before I had babies, I probably would have looked at it differently. Like, I don't want any evidence that I was a retard. You know, like, there's some video of me from Rascals Comedy Hour in New Jersey. I was like 24, 25, a beautiful, delicious head of hair. And And I'm fucking real skinny. I didn't even lift weights back then. And I'm doing stand-up, and it's like, oh, God, it's so dorky.
Yeah.
My shirt's dorky. Yeah. I look dorky. Like, I sound hacky. Like, ugh. But it's cool. I like that it's out there.
Yeah.
I bet if I saw that video right now, I would be laughing my fucking ass off.
Yeah, I bet it would be cute. It would be cute.
I could show you old stand-up, you know, I mean, old, like, it's 7, 8 years old where you don't recognize the way I look.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like long hair, like flowing locks?
Just really thin and happy.
It's weird how people's voices change over the years. You know, I hear my voice when I was younger and things, and I'm like, wow, my voice is so high-pitched.
Yeah,
you know,
I was
still like a boy, you know? It's weird, you know?
I'm really selling what I'm saying to them. Like, you know, like I'm really, like, you know, over
a high. There's a tone to your voice that happens, like, after you become 30, where you become like a man, you know? This when you're younger, you don't even realize it, but you have this weird high pitch to your voice.
Yeah,
you know?
I always thought it was cigarettes.
That for you, yeah. You never really became a man. It's just cigarettes make it sound like one.
When I'm 50, I'm gonna be like.
When you're at 50, it's gonna be full circle. You're gonna be on something to treat the cancer that you have from cigarette smoke, and it's gonna make you develop even more estrogen. That's what's gonna fight the cancer, and then you're gonna sound like Large Marge from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Tell him Large Marge sent you.
Yeah, that's gonna be you. You're gonna sound like an old lady.
Did you guys see the Pee-wee Herman live show? They have it on HBO or something. No, they have it on HBO or Showtime.
What do you mean?
They filmed his live show.
Live show. What does he do?
He brought back.
He brought back his show.
Oh, get the fuck out of here!
Yeah,
it sold out like everywhere.
Of course it did.
Yeah,
it is so weird to watch as an adult though.
How about he's 80 and doing it? That's the creepy thing.
He did it at the Nokia Club, like the theater, but like the smaller of the two downtown.
Yeah.
And my cousin went, and he said that it was just it's all people like, you know. Like, they would say lines at the same time. Like, it was like seeing, like, a band or something, you know? Like,
oh, no.
Yeah, and then they would all, like, look at each
other. So it was a nostalgia thing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Everybody in that theater is like...
Did you grow up with Weird Al Yankovic?
Yeah, sure.
I just got his new album. That is the funniest shit ever. That guy still has it, man.
Really?
Like, it's ridiculous to listen to when you're just really baked driving on the highway. You'll sit there and giggle the whole fucking way home. We got to get him on a podcast. That would be awesome.
I was always a fan of Weird Al Yankovic when I was a kid. I thought he was hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm Fat. I would always wait for his new shit to come out. When he came out with I'm Fat.
Yeah.
You know, Roy Big Country Nelson still goes into the octagon with that song?
No.
He enters with that song. He's the only fighter that enters on Weird Al Yankovic.
That's pretty awesome.
He doesn't give
that
a
makes
fuck.
Me like that guy a lot.
How can you not like that guy?
I remember going.
The guy's got the best personality. He's ridiculous. He's so talented too, you know. And he's trying to lose some weight. He's trying to or at least get in better shape. And
yeah.
He's just, you know, super talented. It's just he's not in the best physical condition. God damn, he's got a great personality though.
I have a video of myself at 8 years old with my cousin who's 8 and my other cousin's 9, and we sing I'm Fat. As children,
you have that
at a talent show, and we're all skinny, but I hog the mic, and I'm the one that ended up fat, of the three of us. Wow,
you got to put that online, dude. Doom,
doom, yeah, I'm doom. I'm fat. I would get really into it.
Yeah, you should definitely put some of that stuff somewhere.
Yeah, no, that I wouldn't get rid of, but I'm.
You know, you should put that on your next DVD.
But yeah.
Yeah, when you do a DVD, have that as one of the extras.
Yeah, I should.
Yeah, why not? That's hilarious.
And I also have college sketches that we made. Where we had we did a commercial, a fake commercial for a product called Anal Freeze, and it was when you have diarrhea, and someone's like, I have diarrhea. I'm like, well, why don't you use Anal Freeze? Like, it'll freeze all that crap up. Like, that's the tag. It'll freeze all that crap up. And then it's horrible. And then it comes in a bottle, and you just shove the whole bottle up your ass. We have videos of that type of genius highbrow stuff.
It's hilarious.
That and a fake kung fu short where we layer Wu-Tang music and we have a kung fu.
That's why no one can ever be cocky about where you are. Don't be disrespectful about other people's material.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they might suck right now, but guess at one point in time, you suck too.
A lot.
You sucked a lot.
A lot.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
You can't not suck.
And
you start on anything, you're going to suck.
The best part, though, is at that time, you don't think you suck.
No, you think you're good.
You think it's pretty
Yeah, there was a bunch
good.
Of times where I was, like, open mic nights, and I couldn't get on. I was like, man, if I get up there, I'll fucking show these people what's up. Meanwhile, I was terrible.
Yeah.
I should not have had any confidence whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, that I could go up there and make people laugh. I was awful. I shouldn't have been allowed to talk ever. I should have been practicing with only people who barely spoke English for
yeah.
years, work my way to the mainstream. But that's yeah. that's just how it is, right?
Absolutely. I remember, like, you remember, like, when you have... When you finally have like 10 or 15 minutes down that kills, and then something happens one night where like you just don't know how to react to a room.
Ugh.
So it doesn't kill, it actually bombs. And you Ugh. Go, but this is the shit. Like, this is the best material
yep.
of all time.
It's the best thing I got in my toolbox.
And you have nothing else to go to. That is like a paralyzing feeling. And then you realize, because you'd killed with it so many times, you get a feeling of being kind of invincible.
Mm.
And then when it doesn't kill, you're like, maybe, oh shit, like maybe this isn't amazing. Like,
that's where you wish you had a real job. It's
right.
like, God, if I just had a job, I'd be like reporting back to the stockholders. Well,
yeah.
we have a discrepancy between the projected income and the actual income. We're going to give you some figures on this on Monday, but there's nothing we can't fix.
Yeah.
But when you're out there and it's all you, you're Tom Segura Incorporated, and you're eating a dick.
Eating whew, huge dick.
You wish you had some, you know,
dick.
Some, what would you like me to do, boss? You know,
whatever,
you can't,
yeah.
You can't say that, because what you're doing is you're the boss. You're
yeah.
the boss. You're the, at the end of the line is you, stupid. And if you ain't doing it, ah, shit.
And you don't know how to dance. Like, now if like something, like if it were to be like, man, this, that was really, that was, that joke bombed or something happened, you have the tools after a while to adjust to that. The problem then is that, like, you just don't even know
yeah.
how to, like...
And you panic, and they panic for you.
Yes, they see the panic, and then they're like, oh, we're all panicking. Like, then you're in a fucking elevator fire. Like,
oh.
people are just like, how the fuck do we get out of here?
I was, recently, I saw a friend of mine, and he fucked up a joke. And then after he fucked up a joke, he started rushing the next joke
yeah.
because you could feel that he fucked up, and that joke bombed. And then I felt like the spin. I felt the spin, the slide, and my toes started crunching up
yeah.
in my shoes. I
yeah.
clenched my hands together. He pulled himself out of it, but I almost had to leave the room.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He got a couple good laughs, and then the ball started rolling again, and I was like, okay, we're back. But
oh, yeah.
the uncomfortable thing of watching someone slide down the road to bomb them.
Yeah.
I don't want to be there for that.
It's really painful.
I
man.
Don't need to see that, dude.
Yeah.
I know it sucks. That's why I write a lot.
Yeah. And you can almost
What
tell
are you doing over there, Brian? You adjusting sound?
Adjusting a little thing. Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell us when you're doing that? Otherwise, it freaks me the fuck out.
Oh, man.
Like, are my ears getting way better?
Joe, you got to look at the salvia video that Tom was talking about earlier. This is going
this
to
This is the one that
freak-
Tom... Well, we, when out. Tom got here, one of the first things he said is, dude, you got to see this video of this couple smoking salvia. And why is it so interesting that it has a million fucking hits on YouTube?
Because what happens in it? Even though Ari Shaffir, when he did salvia...
I heard he
that
freaked
time,
out.
Yeah,
he
imagine,
did freak out?
Oh, yeah. You got to check out that video.
I saw a little bits of it, but yeah.
Yeah.
From his account. And
times
yours.
That times that by a billion.
And this is 126,000 people have seen this already.
Just this one. It's uploaded like a million times on here.
Yeah.
So they're recording themselves doing salvia, which a lot of people do.
Yeah. What is the big deal about that? How'd that all get going?
Because you leave your body like... But it's only a couple minutes, so you're really interested to see what happens, you know, because you're out of it, but you're awake type thing.
But everybody does it the same way you guys did it with Ari, and what I would imagine is like the worst environment possible.
Yeah.
When you're filming
so,
these fucking things,
yeah,
it's like the worst environment possible.
Right. This dude takes some rips off this bong, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, like he, I mean, I can't say what that does.
Now, for people who don't know what the fuck salvia is, for you squares out there. Salvia is a super powerful psychedelic drug, but is very legal for some weird reason.
Yeah.
It was one that was missed in the whole sweeping psychedelic drug acts of the 1970s, whatever it was, 1970, when they made everything illegal. Somehow or another, they missed salvia. So these people are taking something.
And now they're laughing their balls off.
Yeah. It's 100 times more powerful than marijuana. You can buy it in head shops legally. It's like,
and so this is normal shit, like people
yeah.
laughing, having
right.
a good time. Then the Ari Shaffir factor
yeah,
kicks in.
It just
in.
Takes a turn. You can almost see the moment. There you go. That's it.
Okay, so now the guy's lying down. Looks like he's having such a good time, and now all of a sudden he looks kind of freaked out.
One thing to note is that the camera's off-tilted. Like, why is it not centered?
This is one of the best advertisements ever for don't do drugs.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
what I'm saying. That's why I think it might be a fake. But it's really good acting.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, he's breaking windows, bro. This ain't fake. No way. No way.
Yeah, and those are trees up there, man. So yeah, they're on the second floor.
No way.
Yeah.
And then she kind of just comes to it and it's like,
My God.
And then part two, you saw part two, right?
No.
Yeah, part two, she's just totally. Okay.
Would you just say part two? This is fake.
Well, somebody just cut
this
the
is
video.
Fake.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's don't do drug video, right?
This looks fake to me.
Okay.
I don't like the way he randomly stumbled into the window.
I don't like is that the camera is not centered. It's actually so you can see both windows. Like the couch is to the right of the camera. And as a cameraman, if you're setting up your self-record, why wouldn't you zoom in on the couch? You're not going to sit it that far back and show that much window. And why is it showing it's off-centered?
Yeah.
I always thought it was fake, but I wanted to see what you guys thought.
It seems fake. The way he moves seems fake.
Yeah.
Just really
the way he jumped up. The way he jumped up to me looked like he was putting on a show.
Yeah?
I mean, that's the impression that I got. I might be wrong, but my impression was that he was putting on a show.
Yeah, I thought it was
didn't look like a guy who was really scared of... When you're really fucked up... Can you shut that off, Brian? Yeah. Is it still on? Because you hear talking in the background. When you're really fucked up on something and you can't walk, you don't know how to control your body. And that guy was, like, catching himself the right way. He was, like, saving himself the right way every time. To me, it looked like he was way more together than he was pretending to be. And he went right through that window. He didn't pull out of it at all.
Yeah.
Like he knows well enough to keep his balance while he's stumbling around. He knows to protect his balance, but he doesn't know to not go through a window. I don't buy that.
He also falls out of the top part of the window.
Yeah.
You know, where the divide is.
And there's all this smashing and, you know, but it doesn't look like a smashing window to me. You know, I mean, he's just kind of like leaning on it. All of a sudden, it's going through.
Really thin windows.
What is that? That looks fake. The window looks fake. Yeah. And the fact that he would just go over it and right through it, he wouldn't stop himself. Come on, son.
And if you noticed, when all that was happening, there was off camera, he must have hit a light or a lamp, and it did the light bulb blow up flash.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So it was really dramatic because it was like, ooh, a light bulb flash. And that right there, as a looking at it, to me, thought, hey, that's purposely put there to make it more dramatic and realistic looking. But
yeah, maybe, right? Yeah. Maybe it wasn't even real. Maybe they added it to the film.
Right.
In effect.
Really into it when I saw it.
You really?
Yeah.
I didn't buy it, man.
My initial reaction, just being honest, was that I really thought it was...
My first reaction was fake.
Well, we might be...
I might be wrong.
You might be right.
I don't know. Yeah.
We might be wrong.
There might be a whole news story about it.
Yeah. If there's not a news story, like, immediately, because they want to have a story like that.
Yeah.
Guy falls, breaks both of his fucking legs.
Yeah.
You dumbass. Gets a fence post up his ass.
What exactly happened to Ari when he did it?
Well, it wasn't too much of a freak out. He stayed put, though, pretty much. They kind of held him down.
Yeah.
But they were watching him, and they were doing it for a show. They were doing it when they were filming The Naughty Show. And the worst part about that is that, you know, you're filming it, and you're trying to make light of it, and you're making a comedy podcast, and then you ask a guy to do psychedelics. And the worst thing you could do when you're doing psychedelics is be on a fucking comedy podcast with cameras and people fucking
Plus,
with
you. Plus, you know the studio. It was like everybody was packed, like three people on the couch. There was people behind me and everything. So it was like packed
room.
Just
worst place you could ever do a psychedelic.
And he started flailing, and like I thought he was
going to
knock
not
the
too
LCD
bad.
Screen or break, hurt himself, and he stood up and
It was genuine?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's completely real.
Really?
Yeah.
But he didn't do what this knucklehead did.
Did he leave?
Huh?
He left?
No, he freaked out, and then he cuddled Sam, and it was so cute because Ari's little face was next to Sam, and it looked like...
That video's still going on. You see it? Look, there's some... What the fuck? This is bullshit, dude. This video is totally bullshit. They left all this extra footage on the end of it to make it look even more real.
Right.
Clever. Clever boys.
These are some, what's it called?
I don't think so.
Blair Witch kind of style, right?
Yeah. Like, I see all these fucking hungry kids out there trying to come up with something that gets people to look at their shit. And I see creativity, and I see ingenuity, and I see a video like this. And I say, well, there it is. It manifested itself. Good try.
Yeah.
Guy's very talented. It was very funny, but I'm not buying it. Son. So, crazy salvia trip.
School kid.
What does it say? For real with a bunch of O's. That's another reason why you know it's not real.
Because
they don't even say for real with the correct
check
amount
this
of O's.
Out. Check this out. I don't know what's going on. I haven't been watching. I just looked over. But she just finally came to, it looks like. And then she opens the front door. Mm-hmm. And then the guy immediately comes in right when... She opens the door at the same time. Like, it wasn't like she opened the door and was like looking around. Like, they both came to at the same time and met at the door.
Maybe this is like the opening scene for an amazing new film, and this is viral marketing.
Yeah, the monkey movie.
I like it.
This is this is one of the reasons why you root for the monkeys. It's called People Are Cunts, Evidence 1,226,000. Yeah. It's fucking idiots. The smoking salvia, headers out windows.
Are Cunts marketing campaign.
Just to try to really pump up the numbers for the Planet of the Apes. Because you got to realize, we lose in this one. We lose this one. We lose this one big.
My fucking monkeys.
The chimps take over. Yeah.
I was going to be some violent scenes in that movie.
Man. I can't wait.
I hope so.
I wonder if it's in 3D. Is it even in 3D?
Oh, it's got to be. Everything's in 3D now. Son.
I like that
there's
shit
gonna
now.
Be a,
I'm liking the 3D.
Yeah, me too.
There'll be a shot of somebody, like a monkey's going to grab a guy's ear, and it's going to tear across his face. Like, it's going to rip his face.
You think so?
Yes, dude.
What really? Is it supposed to be this violent?
I'm hoping. I'm assuming.
You're putting it out there in the universe.
Maybe it's a kid's movie. Maybe it's a monkey love story.
It's got to be at least PG-13. I would imagine a big budget movie like this.
Yeah.
Probably PG-13.
Right? What do you think of Captain America? I actually think it looks decent.
Looks badass.
Yeah, cool.
I fucking love superhero movies, dude.
Fuck that Green Hornet shit, though. Did you see it?
The Ryan Reynolds is a bit too handsome for my taste.
Green Hornets.
I'm not into watching him wander around on TV knowing that he fucked the shit out of Scarlett Johansson and was like, kind of done with you. Yeah. Kind of done. You know, moving on to greener pastures, honey. Yeah.
You know what sucks is Six Flags just that made guy. A new roller coaster and it's not even
a Ryan opening. Reynolds pussy ride. That's what it is. you jump in a condom and you go just fucking shooting through all these pussies all throughout Hollywood. And at the end, you're just fucking exhausted, covered in sperm.
It's kind of like
it
that.
It turns
too.
Into a water ride at the very end. You get splashed.
She's squirting.
It's kind
of right when she comes at the end. The last girl comes and shoots you over the top of a fucking mountain.
That dude's got to sweat himself so hard.
How could he not?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
He got the craziest roll of dice ever.
Yeah.
Handsome, well spoken.
Yeah.
People like him.
He's funny. He's
decent
genuinely
actor.
Funny.
Genuinely funny.
Yeah.
Good looking as fucking nailing it, son. Yeah. Swat,
you motherfucker.
That some dude apparently just usurped Jennifer Lopez. Have you heard this news?
No.
What? This could not, maybe true, maybe not. Maybe I heard it from somebody who read it on the internet. I haven't even bothered looking it up. But apparently Jennifer Lopez got in some sort of a romantic soiree with some dude who she was dancing with. Now all of a sudden our fucking show has become TMZ because I need to find out if that's true.
That Green Hornet roller coaster is not even open yet. Can you imagine them, like, they spent all this money on this roller coaster and they're like, oh god, that movie was gay. Now I mean bad. And then we have to
from announcing a split to singing at a wedding.
Is that a Six Flags ride it's gonna be?
Yeah, Six Flags. It's not. I don't even think
what's
it's
the
open
other,
yet.
What's the other superhero one? What's the one that
Superman.
Seth Rogen did? No, the one that Seth Rogen did.
Oh yeah, the Black Hornet?
Jennifer Lopez still fucking keeps it together.
Oh, Green Hornet, Green Lantern.
This is why I knew that this marriage was never going to work.
Why? What is it?
She's too hot. She's still hot. She's still hot
Jennifer
as fuck.
Jennifer Lopez?
She's like 50 now, right? What is she? How old is she?
No,
she's 86 years old.
She's 97 years old.
And she's hot as fuck. She's younger than me. I shouldn't be talking shit. She's only 41. But goddamn, she's still hot as fuck.
Yeah.
And that dude that she's with, that Mark Anthony fella, he's got a mirror.
He's a looker.
He's got a mirror at home. He knows what the fuck is up. What he needs to do is belt out some goddamn number one hits. It's the only way he's going to keep her around. Right. And let's be honest, he really hasn't done that lately.
No.
I haven't been hearing, nobody's been screaming and yelling about how great Mark Anthony's music is.
No.
And unless you are one of the baddest motherfuckers ever, you're Justin Bieber and Prince rolled up in one, and you look like that, it's going to be hard to keep a girl like Jennifer Lopez.
For sure.
Those are some genetics, son. Those are some I need dick genetics. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's a
look at that girl's body. Where's that from? What's that? That body is a goddamn homing signal for a cock.
I'm Puerto Rican. It's all good to be Puerto
Rican. It's like a magnet for a dick.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Puerto Rican dicks too.
Shazam, son.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Arroz con pollo. She couldn't keep it together. She hooked up with some other dude.
Can you imagine how many guys fucking railed and smashed that when she was one of the fly girls?
After months of
Don
nonstop
Johnson.
Arguing. They argued for months nonstop. That makes me so sad.
Yeah.
Why argue? You guys have all the money in the world. They have a kid.
They have twins, right?
Yeah. What do I give a fuck? When people are listening to this podcast going, what do you give a fuck? Listen, I don't, and I blame the weed.
And Oprah.
I blame the weed. Because if it wasn't for the weed, I would not be on a Mark Anthony and Jennifer Lopez split Google run right now.
Yeah, man.
You ever get in a Google Run?
Yes.
And you go, what the fuck is wrong with me, man?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about getting one of these MacBook Airs.
Good, good, get one. So before we didn't finish this Machu Picchu thing, man.
Oh.
I'm looking at some photos of this shit now. Tell me, we kept getting off track. You got there.
You fly to Cusco.
Fly to Cusco.
From Lima. Uh-huh. And then you stay there. Usually, most people stay there at least like a day or two to get acclimated to, you know, being up that high.
Right.
And then you take a train from Cusco to what is essentially the bottom of the mountain that Machu Picchu is on. And then you take a bus up the hill. A very unsafe bus ride, might I add.
Is it like one of those things where there's a road and then this mountain to the right-hand side?
Dude, you're on a road that's on the side of a mountain with no guardrails or anything in on a bus, just going up, 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 and you're just like, we're on a mountain. That kind of thing.
That stuff freaks me out,
dude.
Where
you can look out of your bus window and just see down.
Yeah, your bus driver falls asleep, freaks out.
Yeah. Whatever. Had a long night.
A dog runs across the road. Anything. He has to hit the brakes.
Drinks. Just does anything.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's not like...
Oh, how wide is the road?
Not wide.
Oh, not wide. Jesus.
Yeah.
I did the Pacific Coast Highway once, the drive from California, from Southern California to Northern California,
mm-hmm.
along the coast. It's fucking amazing, man. Yeah. Amazing. While you're driving there, you're just like, oh my God, this is so incredible. But you can't even look at it because you're glued to that little skinny slice of rock hanging over the Pacific Ocean, by the way, in a place where the ground moves all the time.
Yeah.
And you're driving 35 miles an hour. You can't drive any faster because there's a fucking person in front of you. And by the way, when you're in a cooperative agreement with all those other fuck sticks on that road,
yeah.
You know, you got to know that this guy coming this way isn't just freaking out and stomping on his gas and turning into traffic because his girlfriend left him.
Right.
You know, you gotta hope that everyone you meet is keeping it together. Fuck that.
Fuck that.
It's terrifying.
You can go a different route, right? You don't have to take that.
You don't have to take that.
Okay.
Well, the quicker route is actually to not take it. But taking that route on the ocean is just the scenic view. So I did it once with an ex-girlfriend of mine. I got a ticket going up and a ticket going back.
How long does it take?
It's a speed trap because they know you want to drive home.
Yeah.
Nobody lives out there. So it's all just people driving from San Francisco to L.A. along the coast. So it's crazy speed traps.
How long does that take?
It's a long time. I don't remember. It's like somewhere around 6 hours, I think it was. Somewhere around that. And that's if you're, you know, following a reasonable pace. We actually, I think, went to Monterey. That's where we went. And then we went to San Francisco later. But it's not worth the drive. It's a fucking cunt of a drive.
Yeah. Yeah. That takes way longer going up the coast.
But the Machu Picchu thing. So you're on this road.
Dude, you're on this road.
There's no guardrail. And you're just like that, where it's a skinny road on the side of a giant mountain.
You're in the driver's hands. Like,
and so how long from the time that you land in the plane, how long before you actually get to the top in this bus?
Well, you land, like I said, you land in Cusco. Usually I stay there a day or two, then take a train. It's a couple-hour train ride, I want to say.
Do you stay there on purpose to normalize?
Yeah, yeah. Most people do.
Wow.
Yeah, because also, since you already flew in to Cusco that day, you probably usually don't feel like taking the train because the best time to go is in the morning to get the whole day. So you stay a couple of days. You get on a train. You take the train ride, then you get the bus up the hill, and then when you arrive at the top, and you are just let's say 100 yards or something from where the actual Machu Picchu city is. You're at the receiving area, and you walk over, and it just blows your mind, man. There's nothing. I mean, there's no way to describe it. There's a city, an ancient city, way up thousands of feet, 7,000 feet up in the mountains, and it's elaborate. It's precise. There's reasons for the placement of things. The sun hits certain parts of it certain ways, and you're just like, we're way up, you know, like you're looking down from the top of a mountain in a city, and it was inhabited and fully functioning, and you know, it's just like I said, the size of the place, the magnitude of it all, it blows your mind. There's nothing like it, man.
How long were you up there for?
I would spend hours, like you arrive in the morning. Let's say you're there by,
you
like,
get a guide or someone
that
takes you.
Yeah, and they have so much just information that blows your mind. Like,
how old do they say it is?
I'm trying to remember. I haven't been there in a while now, but I want to say that they said, well, because it's documented when the Spanish went there and killed like thousands of them with like 100 guys, you know, because they came with disease and weapon, they just wiped them out.
I was in Hawaii last week, and we were reading about when white people first came to Hawaii, it killed off 1/5 of the Hawaiian population.
Damn, because that's measles. A lot of people.
1/5.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how much you would fucking hate white people if they showed up and your daughter died from measles?
Yeah.
Because these creeps brought over some creepy fucking disease.
Yeah, it's I mean it's well, that's well documented. We could look that up. It's, I want to say they, it was like thousands to one that they killed them. And that was in the 1530s or 1560s, something like that.
Just make some shit up, bro. No one's going to look it up.
Fucking,
no one's going to Google it.
Yes, they. I'm not an expert.
So but, when you go up there, so they give you some sort of an estimation of when it was created. Do they tell you who the people were or why they built it?
They give you, it's all theories. It's never been discovered, and they tell you that they're theories because that you there's no record to prove that this was in fact the way they did it. But like,
so was it one thing sort of when they just sort of found it?
Yeah, yeah. It was discovered in the early 1900s by like an explorer, an American explorer, I think, American or British. And he, you know, it was overgrown, like weeds and grass and everything had grown. And then, yeah, can you imagine you're on a hike and then they take you to see this and you're like, what?
Holy shit. The
fuck, man.
But all of a sudden you just find some lost city.
A lost city, man.
From thousands of years ago.
A real lost city.
I wish I could remember what the the Chariots of the Gods / Graham Hancock crew thinks about this place. Because I think there is some sort of speculation that it was at the side of water at one point in time.
Really?
Yeah. That, you know, that the topography of the earth was so radically different when this thing was created that it's so many thousands of years old that there was actually water up there. What this guy wants to do is this John Anthony West guy. He wants to push back the idea of civilization like more than 10,000 BC. He wants to go like way back, even like 30,000 BC. Mm. And he thinks that there's sort of hieroglyphs that represent that. But for whatever reasons, Egyptian scholars have refused to look at those hieroglyphs, and they believe that it's all fiction after a certain point. Mm-hmm. That it's just fiction and fable. And he's saying, well, why would you think that? Because there's all this other evidence that we know is real that's also in the hieroglyphs. Why would we assume that at one point in time they were just liars, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, did you fuck this new one up again?
It's still broken.
We got a new one, though.
I know, it never really.
The new one doesn't work either?
No.
God damn it, son. Anyway, those guys are right, and it was like 30,000 years ago or whatever the hell it was, where there was a civilization up here, and there was an ocean up there or a river or whatever the hell it was. It's not near ocean, right?
No. I mean, you know, no, not like...
So they think it would have to be some giant lake or something up there.
But they have one of their theories is that they used water to lay those rocks and to make them, to shape them, like through some extremely, you know, I don't know, intricate formula that water, because you know, like water hits rocks and shapes them over time, right? And beats them down to sand. They have a theory that water was used to make rocks like fit into each other, but through some elaborate system that you hear about it and you go like, yeah, I don't fucking know, man. That's pretty.
The sheer size of them is what's really mind-boggling.
It really is, man.
They're 8-9 feet tall, and they're curved, and they fit into other curved rocks.
And thousands of pounds.
Yeah, thousands of tons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about thousands of tons. But what's the biggest one? We should know this. While we're talking shit. But there are enormous stones up there, whatever the fuck it is.
I highly recommend a trip there.
Really, man, you're making me want to go.
I really do.
So for when you land in the morning at this one place before you get in the bus and all the jazz, when you land in the morning, do they give you like a survival pack or anything?
No, these things.
Here's water. You're at high altitude.
Well, when you land in Cusco, everyone, like if you've never been there, like hotels will give you tea. They'll give you, they'll tell you to hydrate. Everybody. I mean, it's, you know, Peru is considered a third world, but like it's actually really developed now. And this is such a international destination that like everything is like modern, you know, like as far as getting you there. And I mean, the last time I went was 10 years ago and you know, it was still pretty much, but there's a hotel at the location. If you want to stay overnight, there's a hotel right there. So like, not like, you know, not within the city of Machu Picchu, but right kind of not far from it. So you can stay in the hotel. Like it's very modern.
The fucking ghosts.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night. Dude, it's sword fights from thousands of years ago.
It really, like, affects you. It affects you.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, like, you stand there, and you take it in, you're looking at, like, you're looking at the sky and the mountains, and you're like, how is this possible? Because it blows your mind in terms of, like, most things that you look at, there's so many like explanations and answers for, and this mm-hmm. is something where they really, you really don't have one. Like you can't have somebody tell you this is exactly what this was. So
do you say you can't? Just because it's just too nutty, too big.
Because there's no proof that it was used for this and it was built this way. They're all theories. There's mm-hmm. theories on why this was done, and so that then opens your mind up to like, really, what are possibilities? I think, you know, like what are possibilities in the world? Like, you know,
what are the possibilities that you got from being there, looking at that?
Just that
it was underwater and mermaids built it.
I just got that it was something that you know, that's greater than what my mind can conceive of. It makes you feel like really small, you know, in a lot of terms, like just by the scope of it. And like, if this was done by some intricate like levee and pulling system with water, like, man, how little do I know? Like how little have I taken in that people that were in an ancient civilization built a city up on, like, am I of the lowest IQ level possible? Because this is, you know, you could explain it to me 20 times and I'd be like, what? Like, I don't understand what you're saying right now. Like, really, like, you know, you go, that's, and then also you think about like spiritual things. Like you definitely feel something, like, you know, you think about God and possibilities of gods and stuff. I mean, these people all worshiped, I believe, the sun and other gods, you know, Incas did.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they were just doing this for what they believed was God, you know, worshiping him. Like, they sacrificed, Incas sacrificed. So, you know, they would kill their own, offer him up.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing, man.
I wonder what made them build those things. So what I would think is, as far as it being very spiritual to be there, in the terms of what I mean by spiritual, is that if a spirit was real, and if there is some sort of an energy that's inside of a life form, and that energy like leaves and stays in that space once the person's gone, when you go to a place like a Machu Picchu and you think about all the thousands of years of history and all the people that have died,
yeah,
all the people that died in that area, and what you know, how long ago it was, like if there was ever any feeling you could get of like the spirit of a place, it would have to be some sort of a really, really ancient place, you know, a place along those lines, like standing like where Troy is, walking around the Colosseum, you know, touching the Parthenon, like shit like that. Like, can you go to like really, really ancient places like that? That's, I mean, I know it's a different term when you say like spiritual, but it's got to, like, there's got to be like a certain energy to those places.
Yeah.
If you really believe in that, if you really believe that human energy stays in the area when the person is killed, which people believe when they believe that houses are haunted. You know, I know a lot of people that you tell them, hey, you want to buy JonBenet Ramsey's house? They'll go, get the fuck out of here. They'll go, dude, it's the best house ever. It's beautiful. It's only like half what it would be worth if it wasn't JonBenet Ramsey's. So they'll still be like, fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm not living in that house. Why? Because they think that there might be some energy in that house. There's something left over.
Yeah, they and I think that's almost even a better way of like describing what it is. You get like, you feel something when you're in that presence, like that type of greatness.
Yeah.
Which is that, like, I think you feel like a boost. You know what I mean? Like you get like some feeling that you're, when you're there. You can't, you cannot, unless you're a total sociopath, walk into Machu Picchu and just be like, yeah, cool. All right. What do you guys want to do? You want to grab lunch? Like it's too amazing, too captivating, like inspiring to just be like, yeah, seen it. It's amazing.
Phew. Yeah, I would love to go to a place where I knew there was like Roman battles. Just walk along the ground,
yeah,
you know, like where the Colosseum is. They let you on the ground there
in the Colosseum.
Yeah, they let you actually walk on the dirt in the middle.
Yeah,
they let you walk on that spot.
Well, not, you don't get to walk all throughout it. They have like areas that you can walk through.
Yeah, it's like a path through the whole thing. If I remember,
dude, eat a pot brownie and stand in the middle of the Colosseum. And think of how crazy that shit is. Could you imagine if you were blitzkrieged on one of those Joey Diaz banana bread specials that he gets from that Russian place, and you went to the fucking Roman Colosseum and you stood there in the middle of that?
That'd be awesome.
Dude, can I read you this about... Sure. I looked up this thing. Okay. In 1531, the Spanish expedition led by Francisco Pizarro, the guy that just like discovered Peru, for Spain, let's say, right?
Like, right.
The Spanish guy that came over. He had 180 men and 37 horses were on a quest to conquer the Incan Empire. The Spaniards advanced to the south. After receiving reinforcements, they marched toward a force with a force of 106 foot soldiers and 62 horsemen. And they went on to beat Atahualpa, the Incan guy, and I believe his 80,000 man army.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Because they had guns?
And disease. Like, their disease killed a huge, huge
holy
amount.
Shit. So a couple hundred bad motherfuckers from Spain just dominated that whole place.
Yep. And he captured the top dog, the Spanish did. They captured Atahualpa, and he offered to fill a large room. They tell you this, like, when you're there, but 22 feet long, 17 feet wide, and a height of 8 feet with gold and twice with silver within 2 months. So to fill up rooms, which is gold and silver. And the Spanish agreed to the terms, got the gold and silver, and then killed him.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Gangster style, right?
God damn.
And
can you imagine if you were forced to live like back then? Can you imagine if you were on the fucking shores of Peru or the ground in Peru and you saw the Spaniards rolling over the hill and horses and shit shooting at you? Yeah. Like, they just decided they were just going to take over. Motherfucker. Could you imagine how much that would suck?
Yeah, they sentenced him. They like did a formal you're on trial. You're guilty. We're going to kill you now. And they sentenced him to die by burning.
Ooh.
And then they gave in accordance with his request, because he agreed to be baptized, then they strangled him instead.
Oh my God. Wow, he agreed to be baptized, and then they strangled him instead of burning him alive.
Yeah, that was the compromise.
Holy shit. God damn, they got one more compromise out of him before they killed him.
Crazy,
they made
right?
him get baptized.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Dude, people back then rocked it in an entirely different way, you know? Back then, you really could be like a Michelle Bachman and control the world.
Yeah.
You know, there was no internet videos from 1999 with you talking about the apocalypse and doom and...
Absolutely, man.
Could you imagine if you could get inside the head of any sort of a dictator from that time period? Any sort of a king or, you know, just to get it. It's like, see how they were running shit back in like 1492 when Columbus took off.
They were, you know? People forget, like, Spain, that was gangster country.
Fuck
like,
yeah.
There are how many people, like, there's got to be, like, close to 700 million or 800 million people that speak a language from, like, 3,000 miles away, because they fucking ran shit, man.
Yeah.
They swung their dicks around. Hey, there's 100 of us. Yeah. We're going to kill you 80,000.
Yeah, how gangster
is
that?
Our shit now.
Yeah, and it's like, if they were 100 dudes without a country, they would just be pirates.
Yeah.
And no one would take them seriously. They'd be a band of pirates and ruffians.
Yeah.
But instead, history actually looks upon it as, you know, almost like a qualified act.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, you know, they were, Spain attacked this.
Yeah.
You know, instead of, you know, like, you know, Blackbeard and his gang of thugs tried to take over North
right.
Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, instead of that, it's not a whole country.
Qualified as thuggish when it's super thuggish.
It's totally thuggish.
Yeah.
It's the most gangster shit ever. 100 dudes take over the fucking whole country.
Unbelievable, man.
That's insane, man. That's hard to believe. Did they have rapid fire guns back then, or was it a musket?
No.
They did it with muskets.
Yeah, knives.
Jesus
right?
Christ.
Bayonets.
He took over with muskets.
Can you imagine how stressful that would be? Like, somebody's like running right towards you and you're just trying to fucking fill your musket.
But wasn't this also the case, though, that when the Spaniards came, there was a lot of confusion? They thought the Spaniards were gods, and so they let them in before the Spaniards took over and started killing people?
I think that's Cortez, right? That might be Cortez.
Is that Cortez? My Mayan history is completely limited. My Aztec history, all I know is the cool shit. Like, yeah, Kukulkan was the snake with the fucking feathers, bro. Like, I know shit like that.
Right. But they
Quetzalcoatl.
I know they had a lot of them hadn't seen horses, so they thought they were like they saw horses and they were like, "What the fuck?"
Well, that's why didn't they think that that Spaniards on horses were initially gods?
Yeah, I think they thought they were one being too. Because they came off and they're like, "That thing's got four legs."
Yeah, I think there was a lot of confusion in the beginning, and they actually like gave them a lot of money and like let them deep in. And then they eventually realized, but if it was too late, that they weren't gods. They were just men that rode around on fucking horses.
Unbelievable, man.
That's how bad people had it back then.
Yeah.
It's amazing that that's not that long ago.
And they would do shit like tell them, like, your whole worship shit is bullshit.
Yeah.
It's Catholic. Like, you're Catholic or you're dead. And they're like, all right, whatever. Like, the thing they'd done for, like, the only thing they knew, which was probably, you know, the sun or like, stars.
Yeah.
These guys were like, that's not what it's at.
That's so about. Hawaii, too, man.
Yeah.
And notice I said that with the correct ethnic terminology.
Yeah.
Or what's the word enunciation? Hawaii. They had mercenaries or missionaries, same thing. Mm-hmm. Missionaries, they're mercenaries for God. Yeah. That's all it is.
Right.
The mercenaries came to Hawaii in the 1800s and converted them to Christianity. And like in the 1800s, they had their first Christian king, you know?
Yeah. And they're like,
yeah, Hawaii is a crazy situation, man.
Did you swim with dolphins when you were there last?
No, there was no dolphins. I didn't see any dolphins. But I did a few times ago. Not this time, but the last time in Lanai. So another one of the islands. And there you can swim with the dolphins. But the trippiest experience that I ever had was in a boat with the dolphins. Because dolphins will follow the boats and they'll play with you and jump around next to you.
Yeah.
It's amazing that that's 5 hours away by plane. Yet it's America.
Yeah.
And if we can't wrap our head around how big that is, that's literally if you took off from Burbank and the whole country was the ocean. The whole country. Right. Every state along the way. Ohio. It's all ocean. And then you land in New Jersey and that's the shore. That's how fucking far away
Hawaii
is. Over the ocean. And yet it's still considered America.
That really is. You forget that that's colonization, right? That's what that is.
That's gangster shit is what that is.
Right? Like that's what it
old
be.
School gangster shit. Hawaii was taken over in the 1890s by businessmen.
Yeah.
At least that's what it said when I was reading their thing. There just were some fucking people trying to keep on keeping on out there in the middle of the ocean, living on a volcano, you know?
Yeah. Spain still has the Canary Islands. That's off the west coast of Africa. And they're like, that's our shit. Still.
We're lucky that Hawaii is 5 hours away in a plane because that is the best spot ever.
Yeah.
If that was like you could drive there, people would ruin that in a week.
Yeah.
If you could drive to Hawaii, if they made a bridge to Hawaii, it would be backed up with cars every day forever. And Hawaii would be covered in dirt and fucking plastic bags and cigarette butts. It would be jacked within no time.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's the fact that you have to fly over there, so you can't bring too much shit with you. You can't keep your shit there unless you live there. And if you live there, they give you shit if you're a fucking litter bug, you cunt. You're living on like, you walk along the beach. The beaches are clean, man. They're actually fucking clean. Like, you see very little trash on the beach. And if that was the same beach in the East Coast, it would just be everywhere you looked. It'd be a can or a bottle or a fucking tampon or a syringe. Like, everywhere you go, there's trash. Like, no matter, they can't clean it up enough. And then it's in the water as well because, you know, the water's coming from all the way the fuck up to Maine and everything along down the way, down the East Coast is all just fucking
gross.
Cities and shit and people... You know, emptying their fucking toilet into the water. So by the time it gets to where you are, it's you know, it's disgusting. Half of them are disgusting in comparison. Hawaii's just pristine, man.
Beautiful.
Couldn't deal with living there, though.
No? Why?
Yeah, I was thinking there. I went to a luau. It's pretty badass. Kind of interesting. Sure, bro.
Is a luau like a party, right?
Yeah, it's like a party. They cook a pig under the ground. The pig was delicious. And the dude who was one of the Hawaiian dancer dudes was a... MMA fan hooked me up and he gave me a piece of the cheek. That's supposed to be the best part of the pig.
The butt cheek or the face cheek?
The face cheek, not the butt cheek, dude. How dare you? But you do eat the skin. They give you crispy skin. They cook the skin. It's really good, dude. It's good.
Really?
Yeah, dude. Oh, that's slow cooked pig. Uh-huh. Slow cooked pig is pretty fucking spectacular. Hmm. It's amazing stuff. Hmm. But their music is whack. You have to sit through their music. You know, and all I was thinking was, I mean, it's a beautiful culture. They're amazing people, especially, let's be honest, especially when you go into a resort and you're spending money where they have to be nice to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But even outside of that, like in Maui, people are very nice. They're just friendly. If you're not, like, whenever I hear people say things like, oh, Hawaiians don't like white people, they don't like people. Well, why not? Is it because so many white people are cunts?
Yeah.
Is that possibly what it is? I mean, my experience there is that they've always been super nice. They're just really genuinely nice people. But so many people are douchebags. And you're a douchebag. You come in from another country, basically, to them.
Sure.
And you're littering and you're acting like an asshole. And, of course, they're going to want to kick your ass.
Of course.
You know? So there's a certain amount of douchebags, I'm sure, that live in Hawaii. But for the most part, it's really nice. But that music, bro. That luau music.
Yeah.
There was a song that they sang.
Yeah.
About a woman selling papayas and red and green bananas. And that was the whole fucking song.
Yeah.
She's selling her papayas and her red and green banana. And that's the song. And I'm going fucking crazy. I'm going crazy. Because I just got there from the gym, too. I worked out. They have a nice gym there at the hotel.
Yeah.
So I got in a full fucking 4 days of power training there, son.
Yeah.
I worked out hard there. So I felt good. Which kept me together. But the whole time I was in the gym, I was listening to some old school Lynyrd Skynyrd. I got like really into Lynyrd Skynyrd this week.
Yeah.
They got some fucking jams, dude.
Tearing shit up.
Oh, huh? God. It was just, I just got into the whole idea of these dirty white guys from Florida, you know, drinking and singing. And it's just it's a fucking good vibe. Some of their songs are fucking great, man. Freebird's kind of a long song, and there's parts that are not that fun. But when they go, when they start getting, Lord, I can't change. Dun, 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 yeah. Dun, so won't you fly free, bird? Yeah. Bah, 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 bah. Dude, when you're lifting and that fucking shit comes on, you're like, you just want to fucking fire up some extra sets. Woo! So I heard that. I had just heard Freebird. I had just heard, you know, the Ballad of Curtis Lowe. I had just heard, you know, I just heard all the cool shit. They call me the Breeze.
It's like beer drinking guys that like to fucking rock and roll.
And I'm sitting here and I pop a breath strip, of course. I want a full Hawaiian experience. I'm sitting here at this luau, baked to the gills, trying to keep an eye on the kids. Drinking pina coladas, listening to some whack ass music, and I'm like, and while I'm sitting there, I'm having a great ass time in Hawaii. The weather's beautiful; it's paradise. I'm thinking, God damn, how awesome would it be if they just said, "Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Lynyrd Skynyrd," and the Hawaiian guys step aside, and somehow or another, Ronnie Van Zant is still alive, and they fucking start jamming Lynyrd Skynyrd out there on the beach. I would pay $100,000 for that shit. All right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, fucking then it would be an amazing vacation.
Yeah.
But you're making me listen to Cecil and her papayas and her red and green banana.
It's terrible. Other cultures have, I don't know why some music is so bad. Like,
that shit's brutal.
A lot of, like, you go to, like, you know, you look at research, like, Eastern European countries. And their fucking music, their traditional music is like, what the fuck?
It's Borat shit.
Yeah, it totally is Borat shit.
And that's why Borat's so good.
And they all are really like that. Like, and it's some guy with some creepy fucking mustache who's like, nah, 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 nah. And you know, none of it really sounds like it has a melody or a rhythm. And they're going crazy. Like, that's the best song ever. That's the song that the goat doesn't drink out of the fountain because that's where you live. And you're like, what is the meaning behind it?
What's up with Mexican music? Same kind of thing, right? Like, every single song sounds like an ice cream truck going down the street. I mean, it's like,
well, there is there's a type of the mariachi music, you know, the good mariachi music with good trumpets. Like when you hear like Oscar De La Hoya stepping into the ring, when he's walking down the aisle, stepping into the ring, he brings with him a badass mariachi band.
Yeah,
you know, these motherfuckers are on top of shit.
Yeah,
and when
Yeah.
When they're doing that shit, man, these guys are badass to watch. Like they're experts.
Sure.
They're doing the real shit, you know.
Yeah. There's some bullshit down there because
there's some whack ass mariachi.
But you realize
like there's some whack ass stand up.
What a big culture is in Mexico are that cowboys are, right? Like, you know, cowboys, we have country music. A lot of that shit you're hearing that you're like, what is that? That's their country music.
Right.
Yeah. That's why you're like, this fucking shit's terrible, man.
But
like,
that's they do have regular music, right?
They do. Yeah, they have pop
that's
music.
The only music I've ever heard.
Yeah,
when we were in San Diego, rap, I was everything. Listening to a rap station that was in Mexico. And there was also one station that we went on where we were allowed to swear. Because their station, their tower was actually located in Mexico. And even though we were in San Diego, they were a Mexican station. And so we were allowed to swear on the air.
Really?
I was like, that is fucking crazy. He goes, don't do it too much, but you can swear a little.
Wow, really?
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
That is cool.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Well, it's cool, but look at this fucking thing we're doing right now. We don't have to worry about any of that bullshit anymore.
So this fuck we want to say.
Fucking radio seems so obsolete now. And I do radio, and I love doing it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's always nice, and Kevin and Bean are my favorite. As far as people that are like still on radio, they're like my favorite show to come in because it's in L.A. and I can do it all the time. But, God, I always have to watch what I'm saying. I always have to wonder if I could say this or say that. Like, you know, you got to be careful.
Yeah, I've had some really bad radio experiences lately.
Really?
Where, just like shit where you're like, man, can you do a little bit like to add to
like,
this?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, they'll go, I've had one where like I get there and they're like, just the green room's over there. We'll come get you. And you're like, all right. You just sit down. You're in the green room. And then the guy comes in. He's like, hey, so how you doing? You'll be on the next segment. Like, we don't really do interviews or anything. It's like, just, you know, be funny. And I'll be like, what? And they're like, it's all on you, man. Just be funny. And I'm like, just be funny? Like, we're just going to – what do you mean? You want me to start doing jokes? And they're like, just, you know, your chance to do whatever you want to do. I'm like, well, can we just, like, talk? Do you want us to ask you something specifically? I'm like, well, we can't, like, have, like, a regular – like, you don't want to – like, just make it an organic
conversation.
Yeah, like, can we just do that? We don't really do that here.
Yeah. Like, you know, they tried to get me to not do that on the Bob and Tom show. Some guy came in. Bob and Tom were cool as fuck.
They're cool guys.
They were very cool guys.
Yeah.
Once I actually got in to meet them. But before I got to meet them, there was some dude that was, like, giving me the stink eye. And he goes, well, what specifically do you want them to talk to you about? And I go, dude, anything. I go, I'm low maintenance. Let's just talk. Let's have a good time. Well, they need things to lead you into. I go, dude, I can't do that. I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to talk about this or I'm going to talk about that. That's gonna sound gross.
Yeah.
No, let's just sit down. We're going to have some fun. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And he gave me this stink eye like I was unprofessional. Do you know that this is the Bob and Tom show?
Really?
And Bob and Tom show is a fucking huge show.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's syndicated all across the country. They probably have millions of listeners. They got a lot of fucking listeners. They help a lot of comedians.
Totally. I've been on that show a number of times, and they're always awesome to me. Yeah. They're great guys.
This dude was giving me a stink eye. But, you know, in his defense, that's probably what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, that's his fucking job, and I'm ruining it. You know, like I'm some hotshot just going to come in here and sling dick.
I had another one who I did call in, and the guy's like, all right, so you're going to be on in a minute. Just like, you know, you got a couple jokes ready to go. And I was like, I guess.
Yeah, man.
And then he's like, all right. So then they puts me on. The guy's like, hey, you're going to be at the club. It's awesome. Everybody go see him. All right, man. Now, before you do your thing, we're going to have you do your thing right here. And I'm like, nah. Like, I'm just going to start going to the act.
Oh, my God. That's so gross.
Yeah. And we just talk for a minute. And he's like,
let us hear it. Just go right into Ralphie May's act.
What?
Just go right into Ralphie May's act and tell him that you did it, too. Say, Ralphie, man, I just went right into your act. I just started going you. Just then, don't even do yourself. Make it an inside joke.
Yeah, I should,
do
right?
Somebody else's material.
I'll turn it into Tom.
Do on purpose. Like, tell, like, have an agreement with someone. Listen, if I'm ever in a bad situation and they want me to do my own material, I'm going to do it very badly, but I'm going to do your stuff.
Do it. Yeah, okay.
And you make a deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise it's like, go ahead, tell us what you think is funny these days, man.
Yeah, dude. Ugh. And you're like,
I had a conversation with, I'm going to out him, I don't give a fuck, Cheech from Cheech and Chong at a party once. And he's like, what are you talking about on stage? I go, oh, you know, whatever I think is interesting, you know, whatever is going on in my life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what are you talking about now? Like, tell me some of your material. I go, what? This is what I said to him. What? What did you say? Come on, man. Fuck out of here. I'm not telling you my material.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah, it is gross.
If you ever want to come to a show.
And, well, the thing is, too, like.
What are you talking about? He kept going, too. Like, so what do you, come on, tell me what you're talking about. I'm like,
this is really what it comes down to, too. Like, it's like, all you have to do if you have comics, like if you're a radio station or whatever, a DJ, is just have the minimum amount, like, feign interest in who's in front of you. Like, just a little bit, and you can get a conversation going that's going to be interesting and funny. And, like, usually if it's somebody famous, like, if you, they go, it's already in their head. So they'll be like, I love news radio, or I used to watch, you know, so they'll ask you, like, what about this? And they can get something going. But if they don't know who you are, they don't recognize you, they sometimes, not all of them, but some of them will literally just be like, so what's up? And, like, you're on the air, and you're like, I flew in. Like, what? I'm tired. And they're like, do you have any, like, do you want to get into your shit? And you're like, really? Like, I'm just going to fucking dance around right now?
Maybe it's people that just don't understand stand-up.
I guess, you know? It always makes it like, this is, like, weird. And then you leave, they're like, that was fucking, that wasn't a promotion for the show. That was just
awkwardness.
Yeah, that was really awkward and painful. Yeah. And I don't want anything to do with that again.
I don't think a lot of those guys that are doing radio want to be doing it that way either. Yeah. There's a lot of them that are stuck with a real format they have to follow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's a bitch, dude. When you're hanging around with people and you know, shit they can't talk about anymore.
Yeah.
And there's breaks they have to hit and, you know.
Yeah.
But that just sounds like people just suck at radio.
They do, yeah. Some of them do, you know. Some of them just don't, like, they... I think if you just look up one thing on somebody, you can be like, what's up with this dude?
Well, I think a lot of people are not that interesting.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of it. They shouldn't really be DJs, but they've worked hard at it, and they've pushed themselves into a situation where they're, you know, on TV all the, or on the radio, rather, all the time.
Yeah.
They actually have a little bit of a following, and they get a little bit of an ego behind it, and they think they're special.
Yeah.
I'd like to buy a book of just, like, 1,000 people doing their stink eye, like, different versions of their stink eye. Because everyone does it a little bit different.
It would have to be a legit stink eye, though.
I know. What's your stink eye? Let me see your stink eye.
I don't know. You'd have to say something stupid again. I'll give it to you then, bitch. How about that? Ready?
I shaved my balls the other day, and I have a mole, and I forgot about it, and I cut it off. Is that okay?
Yeah, you should probably... You'd be okay.
Okay. Moles can be cut off, right?
Well, your balls are probably like a fucking water balloon, and that's going to be a hole where all your loads are going to leak out of. Next time you come, it's going to be like dust.
It's one of those big... weird ones that some, you know, they people have under their eyes sometimes.
Listen, son, put a Band-Aid on that bitch and don't worry about it. Okay. If it starts swell up and hurt, go to a doctor.
Right. You have big old
clean
balls.
It off.
I just have the one. It was like one of those ones that stick out a little. Like
that's called a wart.
No. It's a mole. It's
a lot of people.
I've had it since I was a little baby. Though.
Yeah, you might want to get it freezed.
Look, 1 in 5. Yeah, it's not really.
Whatever. It's round.
Whatever, dog.
That's how it is.
Get that shit
it's
shaped.
Gone now.
It is.
Yeah. Most of it's gone or the whole thing?
I think I cut the whole thing off.
Damn, man.
Mm.
That didn't hurt. That's a commitment.
It hurt like crazy.
That seems kind of stupid. Did you like halfway cut it off and figure, well, now that I'm here, why don't I just pick at it until it looks like symmetrical?
It was a Gillette sensor.
So it sliced it right off.
Wow.
Did you get Gillette sensors from? Did Callan hook you up?
Yeah, he gave me a whole trunk full.
Did he really?
No.
Callan's doing a Gillette sensor.
I know. Right now, it's all over fucking TV. That and little Esther in the
Bing
commercial.
How are Callan's Gillette sensor commercials?
It's just commercial, like.
He's
fake
like
game
the spokesman.
Show,
he's like the fake host.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's such a talented guy. I'm always confused as to why that guy's not huge.
Yeah.
As long as I've known him, I'm like, there's going to be one day where someone's going to figure out that Brian Callen's one of the funniest people on the planet. And
then
boom.
Explode.
He's going to be on the huge movies. And
yeah. Well, he is in some of these
little
movies.
Parts.
Right, little parts. But
dude,
yeah.
That guy's so fucking funny. He's one of the funniest people I ever met in my life.
Yeah. He's really fucking funny, man.
He does. He's thinking about doing a podcast. He's on the cusp right now, isn't he, Brian? Did you talk to him about it?
No, I've never talked to him about it.
He's eventually going to do it. I know he is. He's perfect for it.
I didn't get on that.
He's got a mountain of information inside of his head. Not all of it correct, but that's all right. Who does? It's just fascinating. He'll own up to it though. He's like, oh yeah, I fucked up about that one. Like, you know, I'll call him on the phone the next day. Yo, I got a lot of Twitters about some shit you said. Yeah, I fucked up a few of those.
Oh, but full disclosure, I might have fucked up tons of information
with the Machu Picchu shit.
Sure.
Yeah.
So don't email me. Don't tell me how wrong I was.
You've been up there twice.
Three times. Yeah.
Have you ever been to any of the Mayan sites like Chichen Itza or?
No, never.
I've only been to Chichen Itza, but that was enough. That was enough to freak me the fuck out.
It did, right? What did you think when you first saw that?
Well, I've been a huge fan of you know, the Mayan culture and how bizarre they were and how their writing was in this weird sort of hieroglyph, these images that represented.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'd really gotten into it. I read a lot of books about it before I ever went down there. And then once I went down there, I was like, this is so incredible. You know, it's just hard to believe that these people from, you know, X amount of thousands of years ago created this and then it's still here. But the thing that really sealed it for me was I got a guy who is a local professor who was one of the guides. And you paid him. You know, I paid him like whatever it was. I gave him like double what he was supposed to make because he was super cool. And he takes me on this tour, a personal one-on-one tour. And we go to all these different spots, and he explains what they created this for and what it's designed for. And he took me to this one spot. He's like, this is the place where they would do the lysergic acid that they would take from all these plants. And this was like where they would have psychedelic rituals, and they probably ate mushrooms. And he's telling me about all these different things they did. Like, and that's when the whole Mayan thing had pieced together for me, because I had just started doing mushrooms. I just had like a couple of trips before I'd ever went there. So then when I went there, and I saw that these people were fucking trippers. I'm like, oh, well, that explains so much.
Yeah.
I was wondering, like, why would anybody build these crazy geometric patterns that mirror the cosmos and these incredible elaborate stone structures? Like, what was going on? Oh, they were tripping their balls off.
Do they tell you that too? Like, he explains you like
he did. Yeah. The professor did. Yeah, he went into depth about it because I told him that's something I was really interested in, and I said I'm always fascinated by the different ways that ancient cultures altered their state of consciousness, whether it was alcohol or you know, the peyote for the Indians or whatever. And so he also had a lot of knowledge about that particular area. So he talked to me in depth about what they believe happened and where this is what they were used for rituals. And you know, certain symbols indicate that they use certain different psychedelic plants and mushrooms. Fucking, of course that's what happened. I mean, it's, you know, they tripped balls.
Yeah.
They had some crazy ideas and then it got a little out of hand.
Yeah. A little out of hand.
They always get out of hand, man. Especially those South American fucking cultures. It's too hot down there, dude.
Yeah.
People get wacky, you know?
Start slicing people
open.
Yeah,
you fucking don't drink enough water. And next thing you know, you're making a human sacrifice.
Yeah, that shit's crazy, right? Human sacrifice.
They did a lot of it.
Like ritually, yeah. Like,
you know, there's speculation about that game that they played, you know, that football game, which they believed at one point in time they played with human heads. They don't necessarily believe that anymore. They believe they may have played some games with human heads, but they believe that the winners of the game were the ones who got sacrificed.
Really?
Yeah.
So the best.
They don't know. I mean, there's some speculation.
So everyone tried to lose as much as possible.
So this was at least. There's an amazing National Geographic special on decoding Maya. I think it's actually called that, Decoding Maya, about how hard it's been to decode their language and try to figure out what the fuck, you know, these guys were talking about.
Yeah.
It's so complex. But, you know, just that alone, you know, all their structures they left behind, the you know, the amazing sophistication of their culture, and yet they're still killing people and sacrificing people.
Killing motherfuckers.
And maybe killing the winners.
Yeah.
You know, like, what? What? What were you doing?
You're the best, man.
What were they doing?
But in a way that makes sense, right?
Yeah, if they were just fucking tripping balls hardcore all the time. That's what I think it was. It almost like that is what would happen.
Yeah.
What would happen to a society if you were just fucking tripping your balls out all the time? Well, you would make these incredible pyramids and you would keep making them doper and doper, like Chichen Itza. And Chichen Itza is amazing, man.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. One structure after another and mind-blowing shit. And then you would start playing football with human heads. And you know, fucking, you would just go deep, and you would want to kill people because you would know that they would go to the next place, and the next place would be amazing because you've already been there because you're tripping balls. So like, you're tripping balls while you're cutting someone's beating heart out. You're watching them as you're tripping your balls off. You're watching them transfer into the next dimension.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, too much mushrooms. That's
that
what we
keeps
can
you awake at night. For sure.
That's ridiculous.
But look, man, if you look at all these different things that are here, these the Chichen Itzas, the, you know, the Göbekli Tepe in Turkey, all these different things that are here that show that there's been all these different ancient civilizations that existed for so long. I wonder how many of them were inspired by drugs. I wonder how many of them were inspired by some dude who picked something up, ate it, and had this fucking crazy, freaky idea.
Here's what we got to do.
Yeah.
We're building a city up here in the mountains.
We probably lost contact with all that shit, and things are nice and easy now, so we don't need psychedelic drugs to try to figure out the world anymore. At least we don't think we do. That's probably what the fuck's going on. That's probably why this world's falling apart. If we could write it somehow, that would be the way. Just a massive mushroom day. Do you know how much a mushroom day would do for this world? A national mushroom day would change America forever. Forever. We just had one day. If we had a national mushroom day where they opened up places where people could buy mushrooms and they had medical staff waiting 24 hours a day for people who were freaking out, and you know, you signed up and you went into these, you know, fucking bunk rooms, and everyone took it together and everyone was cool, and they had security around, a lot of people that weren't high.
That's the whole thing you want to know, right? It's like you want to be told everything's going to be all right.
That'd be cool, except for like 75% of the population probably suck.
A lot of people would freak out. A lot of people would freak out. But my man, the people who didn't freak out would, even if they did freak out, they'd probably learn something from it, and everybody would come back with a reinvigorated sense of who we are and how we interface with each other on this planet.
No
doubt about that.
How many times have you done it? Have you done a lot?
Seven times.
Mushrooms?
Yeah, and both being DMT and mushrooms both about the same times.
You? How about you? A lot?
Hundreds.
Hundreds?
I mean, I've been doing it since I was 15. So.
Yeah, he's worst poster boy ever for mushrooms, right? This motherfucker. He's just like the Mayans. Yeah. Do you worship plume serpents?
No.
No?
That's crazy, man. That's a lot. I've never done that.
I used to do acid a lot, but then I started doing, I switched just to mushrooms like when I was like 20.
It's like I was doing Marlboros, but I went to Marlboro Lights.
Yeah.
I switched to just mushrooms, you know. That's how I took my non-reality.
Yeah, man.
I was thinking about doing it in Montana when I was there last weekend, but then I was like,
that'd be a place to do it.
Badass, but yeah. There was people there, by the way. I didn't even tell you about this yet. There was, at the hotel, there was these two guys on motorcycles, and they had like this little girl that was like 4 years old, and they were like checking in, and I was like behind them.
So they're riding on a motorcycle with a 4 year old?
Yeah, it was weird, man. And
I guess you could do that, right? If you were in charge of a 4 year old, you could probably take them on a bike.
I don't know if that's legal.
Yeah, and so they go to the hotel, and they're like, yeah, we need a bedroom. And they're like, how many beds? And they're just like, one. And then there's like, wait, there's two guys and a little girl. Yeah, and I'm like, okay. You know,
maybe
like
that's all I can afford.
No, I mean beds. I mean beds.
Yeah, you could get a different.
Yeah.
But doesn't it cost more money for a room with two beds?
Usually I don't think it does, but whatever. But and then later I saw them again, and they were like in the pool. One of the guys was in the pool with the little girl, and he goes, I'm the best uncle ever, right there, daughter or dear. And I'm like, oh, is he saying that louder on purpose just because I'm walking by or something? It was the most awkward. It was just really awkward.
You thought he was putting on a show, like you call him his uncle, and then he's really giving her some dick.
It was really awkward. Anyway, so then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to eat mushrooms here. I'm just going to.
Yeah, I think you need to be really aware of your environment if you want to start fucking around.
So if you already have like some thoughts going on that are like negative or something, you don't really.
Well, I think this is how I would recommend you go about it. Number one, fucking if anybody wants to do anything psychedelic, if you wanted to have like a guideline of how to have a psychedelic experience, number one, plan on doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Say you're going to give yourself X amount of time, and then you're going to do it. And in between that, take care of your health. Eat good foods. Don't eat anything fucked up.
Fast though, the day you do it though.
Fast the day you do it, but keep your body clean. Like you'll feel better. Do some yoga. Do some yoga like the day before you do any sort of a psychedelic experience. If you can do it for a couple days, you know, a week, for like 2 weeks, and then have the experience,
mm-hmm.
you want to be relaxed. You want to be as calm and as at peace with yourself. And then I would recommend, if you can, get to a tank and do an isolation tank.
Really?
Yes.
Tripping balls on
mushrooms? Because you can find yourself in the tank, and then when you meet yourself when you're on mushrooms, it won't be as shocking. Because you'd already found yourself in the tank. You're like, okay, here I am again. Okay, but this time I'm ready for this, and I'm going to skate through this. I'm going to realize what this is all about. Because in the tank, you could always just stop it. You can't stop the mushroom trip. In the tank, if you're freaking out in the tank, you could just open your eyes, stand up, and get out, and you're sober like that. It's instantaneous because it's a natural psychedelic experience, and your body can snap right back to normal consciousness.
So you mean not tripping, just...
Just tank. Just tank. Itself. Tank by itself is a trip. Really? You don't need to do anything. Just a little bit. Two hits is all you need. Go in that tank and boom.
You've done it. You've done the tank, right?
No.
Never?
He's a pussy, bro.
You don't want to?
He's got no balls. He's,
you don't want to try that?
Cut his balls with a razor. They drained out.
Honestly, to me, it seems like I would probably enjoy it, but it's like I get the idea in my head, and I'm like, I'm sure it'll be relaxing and nice.
I've talked about it too much, and now it's fucked, and he'll never be able to go into it because he gets in there and just be thinking about me talking about
it. Yeah, my head will pop in my face, and I'll go
through
a tunnel.
Come with me.
I do
take you on a tour.
Try
sound
it.
Like
I'll
Jimmy
try
Cricket.
That.
You should try it a long time ago. You should definitely try it.
I will.
Then once you do that, then you're prepared. Then you're going to prepare yourself. Have a couple tank experiences. Then jump into the wonderful world of mushrooms. But not until then. Prepare yourself. And that's the problem, man. That's the problem with it being illegal. If that shit was legal, we could open up centers and we could fix people.
Yeah.
We could help a lot of people. Not me. I'm not opening up shit. Don't ask me. No, I'm not joining your business. No. No, not a limited LLC. No. No, I ain't got no time. I mean we as in the human race.
There was a lot of shrooms, I think. I was in Asheville, North Carolina.
Ooh, there's a lot of shrooms up there.
A lot of shrooms there.
That's
there.
A good place for shrooming.
Yeah, man. And there was this. I had a great. I did the Asheville Comedy Festival this past weekend.
This
past weekend.
Really? I didn't even know they had a comedy festival there. Who are you up there with?
It was called Laugh Your Asheville Off is the name of the festival. It's Clever play on words.
By the way, I'm taking my alpha brainwave formula right now.
You got vitamins, man.
I take three. These are our brain pills.
Three?
Mm-hmm. These are super brain pills. I didn't take them earlier. That's why I sound so stupid.
By the way, Chris is coming into town next month. And
he's not Chris anymore.
I know.
He changed his name to Aubrey. See?
Who? What?
Well, we can show you positive and negative examples of drugs. I'm a much nicer person because of drugs. Me, I'm much nicer, much more introspective. But, you know, Brian's done mushrooms 100 times. You listen to him talk. And then you get our friend Chris, who changed his name to Aubrey.
Yeah.
After he had some ayahuasca experiences.
Seriously?
In Peru.
Yeah. He went deep into the jungles of the mind to the point where he wanted to stop being the person who he was. So he changed his fucking name. Shazam.
Did you see the
alpha brain formula is coming out soon.
Did he send you the pictures of? Yes. It looks like the end of Hangover credits.
That. Don't say that. Don't talk
what
about that.
What is that?
Huh?
What
is this that? Is my shit that we're going to be selling. It's nootropics and what it is. And we're done with this. He's coming in the
August.
End of July.
End of July, early August.
And then we're going to, it'll launch right after that. What it is it's basically the highest level brain nutrients that we could find, mix them all together. And Aubrey. Worked very hard on this formula and tweaked it. And, you know, it's basically all the information's available online and all this stuff is available.
We don't have anything.
There's nothing in here that you can't buy individually. So, I mean, if you can't afford this or if, you know, you want to try it yourself, you can always just find out what the ingredients are and go replicate it yourself. But what we've done is we put it all together into one pill form and you take it and it does something. I don't know exactly what you could say it does, but it makes you feel sharper.
Really?
It makes your brain fire better. Oh, for sure. It makes me feel less tired when I have jet lag. When I check into hotels, I take three of them as soon as I land and I always feel much better. I feel much more relaxed when I wake up. It's weird, dude. My dreams are insane.
Wait,
that's why I had my Arnold Schwarzenegger dream. Yeah.
You take this too? Yeah, I don't know what revision that one is.
This is the newest of the newest.
Okay, yeah, I had the first revision.
Dude, nice. Stuff is amazing.
And what's it called again?
Well, we have it. Well, let me see what we're calling it right now. It's Alpha. He's calling it Alpha.
But
something.
It's on Onnit Labs. Yeah,
Onnit.com or Onnit Labs. Is it Onnit Labs?
Yeah, I think it's just Onnit.com. Maybe. Hold on. All but right. They also make a product called Roll On and Roll Off. When I do shrooms, I do Roll On before I do shrooms, and then the next day I do Roll.
It's to off. Balance out your neurochemistry. Yeah, it's Onnit.com. Yeah. They balance out your fucking brain juice.
Yeah.
So,
I think we just crashed the server. But
did we?
Yeah.
Shit.
So,
But Asheville. Back to Asheville. Great. It's a really cool festival because it's, you know, it's smaller than like the big festivals are just, they're fun. They're really well run, but they're massive, you know, they're massive.
Right.
Huge things where it's like you know, there's countless shows going on and everything is like, you almost lose kind of, you know, sense of where you are and like, where am I supposed to be? And
right.
And this is small enough. It's the fifth year they did it.
Have you been to Montreal? That's the biggest one, right?
Yeah, well, I did Melbourne a few months ago.
Is that bigger?
That is, I think so. It's,
really?
It's huge, huge.
I heard that a lot of the international guys are really bad.
I mean, I didn't see that many shows. I saw, like, because I was doing shows, so I was like, you know, we check out some shows.
I didn't even hear that. I'm just talking shit.
Oh, you really?
I just wanted to see if you'd talk some shit. Trying to pull you into a shit talk,
man.
I always root for people in other countries to be hilarious.
Yeah, no, I saw some really funny. I saw this Irish dude. Fuck, I forget his name. Who was hilarious? And
really?
He didn't put on a traditional stand-up show. It was more like, you know, a performance,
right? Like in what sense?
Just that, like, he brought people on stage and he would do shit, but he was just genuinely funny, like a funny guy, and like, you know, like he'd, like, music cues would come on, and he'd fucking
Scottish seem to have a good sense of humor.
Great sense of humor, yeah.
Like that Billy Connolly guy. He's a solid stand-up.
Australians were, they were all, the crowds were great. Everybody was great.
Do you ever feel like English comics get extra props because their accent? Like there's certain dudes that get like extra credit?
Yeah, sure. And I also feel like they give themselves extra credit for being clever. Like they'll kind of be like, like, you didn't get that dumb shit? Well, that was a fucking brilliant thing that I just said.
I like Stuart Lee. Do you know who he is? The English guy?
No.
Some interesting stuff. Very funny stuff. Yeah. But I always wonder, like, how would that translate in America? Because he has this really slow style that sort of depends on everyone paying attention and everyone being polite, you know?
There's more of that in the audiences, like definitely in Australia, where like at least at these festival shows, where you get like a very polite, listening audience. Like
England's very polite. Even the rowdy people in England are polite. You know, I've had some shows where people are yelling out crazy shit, but they were polite in how they were doing it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm doing a
Birmingham. You should go home, Yank, please.
Like, they weren't that bad. Right. No one was being mean. They were just yelling shit out. But I'm doing Birmingham, just trying to figure out the date. So I'm going to do it with Doug Benson. This is a UFC in Birmingham. So we're
going to
book something.
England.
In England, in November.
I did that. I did Birmingham with Russell Peters.
Yeah, Birmingham's awesome.
Yeah.
I did that a while ago.
That was his tune-up show. Bishop.
Yeah?
For 7,500 people.
His tune-up show?
That was the warm-up for the arena.
Did you do the O2 arena with him?
Yeah.
Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. We warmed up for 7,000.
Russell Peters is the biggest stand-up comic in the world, and people don't even realize that. They don't even realize it. I know a lot of people that have no idea who he is, and it's crazy to me. I'm like, you don't know who Russell Peters is. Like, you've never heard that name? Like, you go to another country and you say that name, or you go, you know, you like put his name on the Staples Center or whatever, they'll fucking sell out.
Yeah.
18,000 seats will sell out.
Dude, I think, did I tell you, I told somebody that, like, you know, his audience was really nice, at O2 especially, was like, he's packed the O2 arena to tell jokes, right?
Right.
And I did like 20 minutes and set goes well and you get laughs and you're like, this is amazing. You finish and they give you like a nice applause. And then you think you have a gauge for how loud that's going to be. You know what I mean? Like when you're in a club and you hit a punchline, you're like, that, wow. And then if you really kill, you're like, so that's how, like, it can get loud. And like you gauge how loud that is. I thought that because I had gotten laughs during my set, like, well, that's what it'll sound like. Man, when they said he had an intro to him coming on stage, and the intro was pre-recorded by Michael Buffer, okay, the ring announcer.
Right.
And he does, like, let's get rid, like, a whole build-up. That place fucking exploded. Like, they were like, the Beatles are alive, and they're here, and you guys are going to see them for one show only. Screaming that made all the hair on your neck stand up, goosebumps, and you're like you crouch because the noise is overwhelming. It was like they said, fucking Jesus has walked into the building.
I'm going to ask Bruce Buffer to introduce me on my next special.
How tight is that?
I feel like I got to have Joey Diaz do it because Joey Diaz has done every one that I've ever done.
Yeah, you got to have Joey.
Everything that I've ever done except for my Houston CD that I recorded in 99, Joey Diaz has introduced me to.
It doesn't get much better than that.
I bypassed the Comedy Works in Denver. I love you, but you won't put Joey Diaz on the menu.
What?
So I'm doing a theater in where am I doing?
Just put it up today. It's on your website and Twitter.
It's not on Ustream, son. It's we're doing a theater in Denver, Colorado, the Paramount Theater.
Nice.
And Joey Diaz can finally do it. Every time I've gone to the Comedy Works in Denver, Joey can't work the Comedy Works. He had some sort of a disagreement with somebody back in the day, and unfortunately. So
that sucks. I know. I hid my weed at the Comedy Works.
We could always waiting go back. To go
back there. Okay, can we go we back there just for like 2 minutes?
Yeah, we could do a set, maybe a late night set Saturday night. That's possible.
I'll be there in a couple of weeks. I'll grab it for you. No, I won't be at that club. I'll be in a different club. I'll be at the Denver Improv, but I'll go over there and grab you.
I'll find out.
No one's
who's
going to
there.
The Comedy Works.
9/23 Denver Comedy Works. We could find out who's there, and if they're cool, we can hang with them.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That way you can find
when do you guys go?
The Denver one is going to be in September 23rd.
Okay.
Should be fun. Denver's fucking awesome, but Denver's I'm going to get nostalgic. I'm going to want to move there again. Then I'm going to start getting apocalyptic. Worry about stocking up on water and shit and hunting elk. That's what happens, bro.
That was a crazy place. I saw your place.
You went up there with me.
That was crazy, man.
Did you think I was crazy for moving there?
No.
What did you think when you went up there, though? It had to be a weird... I mean, when someone says, hey, come on, I'm going to take you on a ride to the top of a mountain down a dirt road,
though,
this is where I'm going to sleep with my kids at night.
I thought, like, my real reaction was, this is awesome. I wish I was in a position that I could do something like this. That was my genuine.
Wow.
I didn't see it as, like, what the fuck is he doing? I was like, oh, man, I wish I could fucking do this, too. That was honestly how I felt.
There's two types of people. There's people that thought that way, like me, and then there's people that thought, like, what the fuck are you doing?
I thought it was really cool.
But I'm also,
like, kind of antisocial, like, personally, and like I'm I like
speech
kind of isolation and privacy. Yeah, totally.
Well, I think the move is you got to have both, you know. And I think with one of the reasons why a guy like you or a guy like I might want to have some peace and quiet alone is because performing can be kind of overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, I think
you're
right.
Being in front of giant groups of people requires this intense amount of energy and concentration. Yeah. And then, you know, then there's also like meet and greets, you know, after the shows where it's like, you know, I want to say hi to everybody. But then I want nothing.
Yeah.
I want complete quiet. And I like just to sit on a fucking tree. You know, a fallen tree, and look over at a lake, and fucking go fishing.
Love it.
And I don't want to hear shit, man. I don't want to answer questions about when is Anderson Silva going to fight fucking this guy.
Yeah,
I
just,
I don't want to hear shit, dude.
I just want to watch the water ripple. Yeah.
I want to recharge.
I get that. My wife, because my wife's a comic too. Like we turn down social invitations almost 100% of the time.
Wow.
Because we both perform, and we get home, we're like, this is awesome. We're just going to sit here on the couch.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah.
And then the people are like, no, but this thing's going to be awesome. And we're like, yeah, but I don't want to go.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Exact same way. That your house reminded me of something you would see on a Trapper Keeper. Like, I remember how amazing the photos. I never got to see it, but the photos you sent me, I was like, Jesus.
Dude, his place was amazing.
It was a trip, dude.
It was amazing.
The view was incredible.
And
the
it
view
had,
out the back.
There was that walk that we went on,
mm-hmm.
and that lady, she was such a cool lady. That owned the place.
Yeah,
I really liked that lady. She was awesome, and she was
nice
really
super yoga
into yoga. And then she was like, "Here I stand," and like the sun hit it. And she had like a wooden thing, and she was like, "I just sit here, and you know, you have to
give thanks."
But like, I wasn't all into necessarily doing that, but I loved like being able to walk out there, stand on the side of a mountain. It's awesome, and you just stand like
it's amazing.
Trees and it's so cool.
That's where people are supposed to be. You're supposed to, at some point in time, be there and relax and kind of look at it and reset your perspective when you enter into the hive again.
Yeah.
When you're in the hive, like we're in the hive right now, you know, there's even though we're kind of relaxed up here and it's kind of quiet where I live, there's still millions of people in this area. Whether or not you realize it, you're feeling that.
Yeah.
You know, you're hearing cars move. That has an impact on you.
Yeah, breathing it.
Well, yeah, you're breathing it for sure. That has a big impact. And one of the things that I learned from that fucking isolation tank is that the more you can remove, the more you can see things clear. And removing things and distractions and bad things from your environment, when you have all these things in your environment and they're just there all the time, you don't ever think of removing them. People who live in New York City, they love it. I love the action. I love the sound. I love this city. It's an amazing city. Yeah. You don't realize that city is bombarding you with sensory input. Bombarding you with information that you have to process all the time.
Yeah.
And some people enjoy that, and it actually keeps them going. But to really get a fresh sense of who you are and what life is, and just look at it at a 1 degree different angle. Just get to the woods, man.
Yeah.
Get to the shore. Could walk along the ocean. Stare out at that never-ending water.
Yeah.
You need some form of visible nature to humble yourself. You know, and in California, that's one of the reasons why people are such fucking twats. There's no weather you have to deal with ever.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful out here all the time. It's sunny. It fucking hardly ever rains. When it does, it rains for a day. You know, it might rain 10 days a year. You know, I mean, what's the most? 20? 20 out of 365? It doesn't fucking rain very often, man. No. We don't have to deal with wind. We don't have to deal with shit. Occasionally something lights on fire. But that's why people are such cunts out here. Because you need nature in your face. You need a thunderstorm, man. You need something like that to really, like, put it in perspective.
Sure.
Man, I need to be a little more humble about my position here.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm just a little tiny little organism clinging to this giant thing hurling through the galaxy. You know, and the best way, in my opinion, to feel that is to be somewhere natural. Just interact with the earth. Somewhere where you could see a fucking forest. Somewhere where you could see the ocean and see a fucking water that goes on as far as you can see. It's water! And it's deep as fuck!
Yeah.
And all it has to do is the earth moves and then a wave 100 feet high comes flying at you 50 miles an hour and fucking jacks you. You know, it
changes the way you feel.
Fuck yeah, it does.
I went to Sun Valley, Idaho this winter. That was amazing, man.
Oh yeah, that's gorgeous.
Oh my God,
the whole area out there with the lakes, like Coeur d'Alene and all that.
And then there's these beautiful mountains covered in snow. Then there's huge trees, and you go, holy shit.
Yeah, just everything's just like.
Yeah, it changes the whole. Yeah.
Your fucking whole physical being, like, tunes into it. You know?
And then you
relax
go,
more.
I wish I could have a house here.
Yeah.
That's the next thought you have. Like,
yeah.
I wish I fucking had a house here.
Yeah, we have some friends that keep a summer house on the lake out there, and they're
holy
always talking
shit.
About how amazing. And they're in the clothing business, so they're like real. You know, hustle bustle, real, real, always constantly on the go, and then they go there and just
imagine
so,
decompressing.
Yeah,
imagine doing
yeah.
like a crazy tour,
yeah,
where you just do like 60 cities,
yeah.
and then you get done. You're like, I want to go sit on the lake.
The husband's done. He wants to move up there. He's like, fuck this fucking crazy town. He wants to move up there.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But they have this giant business. They make like shitloads of money selling clothes. So they really can't just abandon everything. They have
yeah.
like a high lifestyle to support.
Yeah.
You know, but meanwhile they just want to just relax by the water, man. Mm. Everybody wants that fucking feeling of retiring somewhere, but you don't realize that is very close to death.
Yeah.
You've kind of based, at least a lot of people have, who they are on what they do for a living, what they do for work, how they interact with people and feel useful. And as soon as you like slide away from that and just stay by yourself, it takes a very different mindset to enjoy that without starting to get depressed and start feeling that you're dying and it's
yeah.
the end of the line for you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because that is, it really is putting the brakes on when you move somewhere, right? Cause you,
yeah.
But maybe it's, you're opening up to something else because you're, instead of like your drive being for accomplishing more at work, like maybe you're just becoming a different type of person.
Yeah.
You're still doing some type of work, I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you're putting work into yourself more.
Well, if you could figure out how to Hunter S. Thompson it, how to just live up there and then travel in whenever you wanted and then interact with the people and then head back out to your shelter.
Where would he live? Where
he lived in Woody Creek.
In
Colorado.
Colorado.
It's near Aspen. Really more remote even sort of than I was living because Aspen's trickier to get to. You know, you fly right into Denver, you drive an hour, you're in Boulder, you drive 20 minutes, you're in the mountains. I mean, it's that easy. It's literally, you're an hour and 20 minutes from your car to where I lived. That's not hard at all, you know, and you're in the fucking woods.
Yeah.
You know, where he was is a lot more difficult. You had to fly in to Aspen, and Aspen's like a little tiny-ass airport, and it doesn't, it's not a good one either. It's a funky one because it's like nestled in between mountains, and sometimes people crash. Like I know
they reroute
dude.
You all the time too.
Yeah,
yeah.
They rerouted us when we did the Aspen Comedy Festival.
Yeah,
they said the winds are too high and there's too much snow. And we don't want to slam into a fucking mountain that we can't see.
They did
like,
that
have to worry
yeah.
about that.
They did that to Christina this year when she went there. They
yeah,
flew
yeah,
another,
yeah, yeah.
And I did that for Sun Valley. They're like, that airport's not working. Go
yeah,
to the airport.
Fuck.
Get on the bus and then drive.
Yeah.
yeah,
the wind gets wacky up there, man. I knew a dude who lost his friends. They were in a private jet and they were headed out to Aspen. There were high rollers in the movie business.
Damn.
These guys were like super ballers, and they fucking were making millions and slammed into a mountain.
Isn't that
exploded.
The worst? That you
yeah.
had to, like, if you were to get, like, it seems like the worst thing is crashing in a private jet. Like, you're
oh.
like, let's do the fucking private jet shit, man.
Yes.
And you just, you're putting up crazy money
well, that's how a lot
to
of
fly luxury, and then your fucking private jet crashes. You're like, I paid $60,000 for this flight, and it crashed into the fucking mountain.
It's yeah, private jet is the ultimate ridiculous indulgence.
Yeah.
Cuz like what does it cost to fly to Vegas? It costs like if you want to go first class it's like $1,000 or $2,000 at the most.
Yeah, I would think more in the 1,000 because it's
that's
a pretty short flight.
The
from
most
here.
Expensive
yeah.
that you can
yeah.
pay for. And if you wanted to go coach it's like a couple $100, right?
Yeah.
You
can but even you
go
get...
Southwest for like $150 or something
right,
crazy.
Yeah.
Or you could spend $15,000
yeah.
and go in a private jet.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And then there's all the different classifications of jet.
Yeah.
There's the small jet.
Right.
Mid-sized jet.
How about propeller planes?
Propeller
there's
planes.
Really luxurious propeller planes.
Right. We got you
know,
a nice
so you
Cessna.
Live like you're fucking Ernest Hemingway
right.
flying to Cuba.
Then like the ultimate craziest status is like what Oprah has, which is a Boeing
airline,
a Boeing business jet. So it's actually a converted. Like 747 or 777.
Is that what she has?
Where they, yeah, where they strip out the entire
make
fucking the 60 rows, and they have
like Air Force
like,
One style,
yeah, like entertainment area, bedroom,
God damn,
like
that's
that
what Oprah
shit.
Has.
Yeah,
Joe, have you ever been to the Ronald Reagan Museum here
that's
up
crazy,
in Calabasas?
Right? Yeah.
No, never been there.
You should go there, get really baked, and go to the Ronald Reagan Museum. They have an Air Force One there, and it's so amazing, like, walking through this, what you're used to.
Where is it?
It's, like, in Calabasas, Thousand Oaks, around, up Thousand somewhere Oaks. Around there. Somewhere around there, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's out north. Yeah. Is it, do they actually have a plane that you can step into? Like, it's outside?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's a real Air Force One. You go, Whoa. It's inside a warehouse, and you get to walk through the whole thing, and they put, like, little, it was Ronald Reagan's, and they put, like, little jelly beans, you know, on his desk, because he liked jelly beans. But,
does it have a one of those little escape pods where you climb in it and then they hit the parachute and the plane falls apart and he escapes?
I can't remember, but it was pimp. And it was Did like they have 80s those? Pimp.
The what? I'm sorry?
You weren't even paying attention.
No, I was reading.
The fuck are you
that
tutoring?
Was like Star
no,
Wars. No, I wasn't. I was reading.
Okay. did they have, like, remember how, like, I know at least in some movies, Air Force One had, like, an escape pod, the president
oh,
climbed
right.
the pod,
yeah, yeah.
and it would, like, a hel- you know, a
I don't
parachute
know.
Would deploy or
I don't think
a
this
jet.
Is,
I think no. that was Star Wars.
Yeah. Is that bullshit?
I think that's bullshit.
So if the plane crashes, he's fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can't save the president.
Right.
The 787, I believe.
People would get mad. They'd go, why can't you save the president? You can't save my little Billy.
I always wonder why they couldn't have fucking parachutes as a last resort somewhere on the plane just
my
in case there's a hole.
Johnny B said it best. He goes, why can't they have a parachute for the whole fucking plane?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he said. It's high as fuck. Sense. How about yeah. this, bro? How about this, bro? I can fucking solve airplane crashes. What happens? Plane breaks in the sky. Oh, you got a parachute. He just drifts to the ground. Why can't they do that?
Yeah.
He goes, what does it cost? How much is a fucking parachute? You cheap pricks. You can't even afford a fucking parachute.
It makes so much sense, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. Because the weight of the parachute combined with the weight of the fucking plane, you'd probably run out of gas halfway to Idaho. The shit would fall apart. It'd be all
dude
out of whack.
The Boeing business jets range in cost from $47 million to $310 million.
God damn. And you know she didn't get the cheap one.
Hell no.
Oprah's a baller,
she
son.
Got Bluetooth.
Right now, oh, she's got ladies around her all the time, filing her nails, yeah. one on each toe. They're all white girls, too.
yeah,
all white girls, under 120 pounds. That's all she asks for. I want only white workers, 120 pounds or lighter. Skinny girls.
Pick a toe.
And that's what she wants. The skinniest, prettiest girls to clean her toes and feet.
coconut butter on her elbows.
While she talks about her fucking $300 million jet that she's converted into a disco.
It's fucking nuts, right?
Do you think Oprah's gay?
Do I? No.
Yes.
No.
You don't? Really? No. You don't consider it at all? That's the rumor, right?
Is I think
that she's gay for that Gail
chick? For Gail,
chick?
I think she's more asexual and just a power-hungry egomaniac.
Really?
Just, yeah, totally.
You don't think she hires chicks to come over and eat her box?
She might. I don't know. She
How
might.
Much do you think that would cost?
Just say yes. He just
How
please,
much do you
for
think
his tone, yes.
Yeah,
I think so.
How much do you think you gotta pay a girl
I think so.
To come over and eat Oprah's box? I think she probably has a flat rate.
Like, I mean, she's like, listen, you know, you can work at Wendy's.
Yeah.
They don't pay much.
Yeah.
Or you can eat my box. I'll 10 give you 1500 bucks.
Yeah.
10 G's?
Sure.
Think about 10
Each
G's
lick.
A pop.
Yep.
10 sure. G's for a 20-minute session.
Yeah.
And that girl, that's all she does. And she just works for Oprah every couple of days.
But she has like a little thing that she's like, I'll give you a little extra if you make the pussy pop. Like she has like a little like a little tag on it for. And the girl's like, what's that mean?
Do you think her Oprah calls it a pussy?
Yanking,
Do you think
sure.
she calls it a pussy?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Pussy bee, yeah.
Really? You think she talks
or stank
her?
Box? I think
stank
she
talks. Box.
Yeah.
Or stank box.
Yeah. Because you know, sometimes when she gets back to her old southern roots, she'll be like, "Girl, you know this shit is delicious." Shouldn't say shit, but like,
right.
"This is delicious, girl."
Right.
Like she'll really
right.
play it up. I think when she's in bed, she's probably like, "Get that pussy, get
it." I guarantee you, if you could encapsulate the smell of an Oprah Winfrey post binge diarrhea blast,
because
she knows she must go on a binge.
Oh,
she
drops heat. Yeah,
she
for sure.
gets heavy, bro. Some
yeah.
shit goes down. She got real skinny for a while,
yeah.
and then she just plumps up. And there's some eating going on there.
Yeah.
Son. There's a lot of stress, and that's how she. If you could encapsulate it into like a something you could open and smell her shit,
yeah,
I guarantee you people would buy it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They'd be fascinated.
People are fascinated.
I love grape juice
for a certain amount of money. If you just as long as you made it reasonable, if you said smell Oprah's shit for $1, you would make millions.
Yeah,
if it's all it costs, like a buck.
That's not. Yeah, that's
it's
very
not that
reasonable.
Much.
It's less
it
than
would
a couple
be more
of
than yeah.
Would you do it?
Yeah,
you might make $5-6 million bucks off that product.
Sure. Why don't we do it?
Why can't they encapsulate record smells the way they record sound and visual? It's just because there's not that much of a demand for it. It seems like they should be able to do that by now. Like they should be able to put a smell into some sort of a reusable medium. You know, visual medium is like they can record video. You can watch that video. It gets in through your eyes. You know, why can't they record a smell?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, because you ever done the like the film capsule thing? You done that before?
What's that?
Like the 35 millimeter film cart? You know, the little black thing.
Mm-hmm.
Fart in it, and then you
encapsulate it.
Yeah, and you can
close it.
That fart will stay in there.
No yeah. way.
Yes, it will.
Yes, he's it will. So confident. I would bet on him.
Yes,
I've experimented with cups and stuff
jars. And you can do it with jars too.
I've tried. I've tried.
No, you tried with kitty fart failed. Cup.
No, and you also didn't fart. Like you got to really be into farting.
I farted on Christina the other day when you were there.
Did
I,
you really?
Yeah,
really
we were all walking out of the office, and I just trailed her whole leg the whole time.
Damn, dude.
Why did you fart on his wife?
Don't fart on my wife.
That's so
it's disrespectful,
rude.
Man.
Yeah, you can't be farting on dude's wife.
I'm just kidding.
My daughter farts on me all the time. We're watching TV shows with her. She's sitting in my lap, and she just starts farting. 3-year-olds don't give a fuck.
But you just
and
laugh
I go,
at
and I go,
right?
Did you just fart on me? She goes, yeah. That's farts on you.
That's got to be the only time
that
it's acceptable or cute, right? It's like it's your daughter. You're like,
yeah, you know, right. It is what it is. You know, yeah. I gotta wipe her butt still, make sure it's done right.
Right.
I gotta flush flush her logs.
Yeah.
If a baby's log, a 3-year-old baby, if your log was improportionate, it would be the size of your fucking thigh.
Oh yeah, because they have big old shits still.
Giant shits.
Yeah.
They eat so much. You know, kids are always hungry. They're growing. So they just fucking pack that food and it comes out like a grown up shit.
Yeah.
And you try to do the math, like that's ridiculous.
I love taking shits.
You gonna have a little Tommy running around, you and Christina?
I want to, yeah. We
shoot some
at some
shoot
point.
Some live rounds in there and get the party rolling.
Definitely at some point. I definitely
I can't
want kids.
Wait.
How
you
old is she right
a
now?
Great couple.
She is 35.
That's when you gotta start thinking about it.
Yeah.
You gotta start thinking about, you know, your window. I don't know what the window is for
a
kid to be healthy, but
we're
going to
get on it. Yeah, we're going to get on it.
Come on, son.
Film it, too.
Yeah.
You should film the whole thing, the porn, right up to it.
Oh, yeah.
It could be a new reality show. By the time your kid is born, that will be passé. Kim Kardashian will have already had, like, a cervix reality show.
Sure.
Kim Kardashian's new show is going to be a microchip little camera where you can just see the black dicks going in one after the other. That's the whole show. The whole show is a 24-hour internet cam inside her pussy. It's all Wi-Fi'd, and it just it's all hooked up. Hey, look, you would pay for that. Would you pay for that?
Yeah.
Yes.
If that was on the Playboy Channel, if they agreed, if a girl agreed to do it, please, someone out there, steal this idea. Get a girl who looks like Kim Kardashian, pretend it's Kim Kardashian, lie to me, say this may or may not be Kim Kardashian's pussy, and get a girl to put a 24-hour webcam inside her box.
Somebody stole an idea from me the other day, by the way.
Really?
It could totally be parallel thinking. For years, I've said, and I even said it just last week on a podcast, but I said on one of your old podcasts, I can't remember, that I had this idea that called snail mail. And where I thought about it when my grandmother was still alive, that she doesn't have a computer, but I wanted to be able to like write an email and then send it to a company, and that company would write it out and send her like a handwritten letter. You know, so it'd be easy for me to write letters to my grandmother for a charge. The other day, I had a Freddie Lockhart podcast, and I talked about it. And then yesterday, Gizmodo.com said this like artist guy did that, and he's called Snail Mail to Email or Email to Snailmail.com or something like that. And that's what this new company is called.
Well, if they stole from you, I hope they're fucking they crash to the ground, Brian.
Yeah, it's not cool, man.
It's not cool at all.
How long have they been around?
I think since yesterday.
Well, you allowed them to steal it from you? You don't want a piece of that. There's no money.
Well, he's
that.
Doing it for free, so I don't.
So you're happy?
It's like more of an art project, I think.
So
this
if
guy's
he
doing
did
it for.
Steal your idea, you welcome it. You
yeah,
you're happy.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's nice.
It's very thoughtful of you.
Dude, it's nice. You're contributing to the world.
Right.
Your little wacky ideas.
Yeah, I've had time, I would have done it myself.
If you don't know and you can't get enough of Brian, you're like, God, who's that dude stumbling through his sentences? I fucking love him.
He's too stoned.
You can, yeah, he is too stoned. Brian is a way smoother talker before he does the podcast. But I knew that I was going to get past that third hit his way, and he's impulsive. He's going to say yes, and I know he shouldn't have it, but part of me wants to see him take
you
that third
hit. You
did
give me a third hit.
I gave you that third hit. I
didn't realize.
I took the third hit, too. I'm just starting to come back. I'm on a Machu Picchu high. The entire time we were talking, I was thinking about Machu Picchu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
Plan your trip, man. Plan your trip.
Yeah. It's hard when you have little ones. I don't think they'd be down.
No.
It's not, I got to tell Mickey Mouse is at the top. Here's what I'll do. I'll hire some dudes dressed like Mickey and Donald, and they'll be waiting for me at the top of Machu Picchu.
That's fucking great.
And the like, and the kids are like, "Daddy, let's go back. I can't breathe."
Yeah,
like, come on.
It's not the ideal place for
Daddy
little kids.
Daddy wants to see the big rocks. I'm here for the big rocks, you fucks.
Hey, don't let your kids have lemonade stands. I saw a lemonade stand the other day, and it blew my mind. I was like, "Wait,
you got to be parents."
There's right these there. Two kids on the side of a street, and that's just like an open
one-stop
invitation.
Shopping.
Yeah,
yeah.
What the fuck is that? And there was no parents anywhere.
Did you
it was in front of the house.
The poor guy in Brooklyn. Did you hear about this? Where the little kid asks for directions. He's on his way home from school. He's 8 years old. Asks for directions. They can't find him. And they find video of the kid at the playground talking to some man. They go to the man's house. The kid's chopped up in his refrigerator.
Fuck. No.
Yeah. Guy's an Orthodox Jew, too, which
really
shocked the Jewish community because the other kid was a Hasidic Jew. And it's, you know, a very tight-knit Jewish community.
Yeah.
This guy... an Orthodox Jew killed this fucking kid and chopped him up.
I did think it was like it was weird. Like yesterday, I'm driving down like Glendale Boulevard, and it's like sundown, and you see like I saw two girls that were probably like, I don't know, maybe like 12, 13, just walking down the street. And it's not like a bad neighborhood.
Mm.
But you're like, you shouldn't be walking down Glendale Boulevard. Like you're too young. Like you know, the cars are flying by, and there's it's still L.A. There's weirdos on any street just walking around. It does make me go like, man, I thought like I would definitely not be cool with my kid walking around, you know,
where
even,
you live.
Well, just like that street, like it's not a residential street, man. Like it's like a highway almost.
That's why people always want to go to the suburbs once they have children.
Yeah.
Realize like, wow, this hive is just too crazy.
Yeah.
I sort of admire people that raise their kids in New York City. I'm like, wow, what a wild ride that's gotta be for kids.
Yeah.
You know, to grow up in, you know, the hub of North American civilization.
Yeah.
I mean, New York City is unlike any other city. You can call LA a city all you want, but it's really not. It's a destination.
Spread out.
It's a destination.
It is.
LA's an area. It's a place. But it's not a city. New York City is a fucking city, man.
Yeah.
When you're in staying in a hotel and you open your window and everywhere around you are 60, 70 story skyscrapers and you're looking down the ground and there's fucking millions of people looking out at their windows and looking at you and you see this giant thing that's created on this little island. That's a fucking city, man.
Yeah. And
that's the human experience and it's highest RPM form, you know, this giant construction where everything's built up, you know, they don't have any room to go east and west, so they go north and south, you know, what the fuck, that's a weird place to raise kids.
All East Coast cities have that, a different vibe and feel than, like, out here, like, you know, San Francisco's a proper city, like, a tight kind of thing, but, like, you know, like, Philly, Baltimore, New York, those are cities where there's you can feel the city's alive. Here you don't really
hear this. Like, the city and the city's filled with pukes too.
Yeah,
it's filled with people that are trying to get famous.
Yeah,
so the vibe of the city is all fucked up.
Totally.
That's right, LA. I said it. How about you just suck it, Brian? What are you doing? It. Tweeting? This is the end of this fucking goddamn podcast.
This shit was fun, man.
It was fun. It's always fun.
It's always
Tommy
fun.
Segura. And if you think Tommy is hilarious when you hear him talk on the podcast, you could also check him on his podcast, which is Your Mom's House, that you can catch on the Death Squad Network. And
one of my favorite ones to do, too.
Of course. He's hilarious, and so is his wife, and they do it together, which is a little bit pussy whip, but we're going to let him slide. You know, it is what it is, bro.
It is. It's great. I love it.
His wife is super cool. Yeah. I remember when I met your wife was going on at the Naughty Show, and there was a fucking a girl beating a dude with a belt right before your chick went up.
Yeah.
And I was talking to her, and she's like, what the fuck am I going to do with it? How am I going to follow this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, she's going to follow that. Like, that's going to be hard. Like,
you
know, these people are screaming and cheering, and she just rocked it, dude.
Yeah, she went crushes.
Dude, she's hilarious, man. Super relaxed and super confident. And you follow her on Twitter, too. We'll give out her Twitter name.
Her Twitter is at Christina P, I hope.
Christina P?
Christina P.
Just P? Just Christina P?
Yeah, just Christina P. Yeah, she's awesome. She's hilarious.
But if you really want to see Tom at his finest, you got to go see him do stand-up. He's at the Ice House this weekend with me, but it's sold the fuck out, son.
Damn. Yo.
Me and Joey Diaz and Tommy Segura. But when else can they see you? Where are you going to be at?
Well, next Tuesday, I'm going to be in Montreal for the festival. And Tuesday night, I'm going to do Ari's show at midnight.
In Montreal?
In Montreal.
Wow.
Oh, and beautiful.
I'm doing other shows throughout the week at the festival. Like I'm doing a HBO Canada show. A couple of Best of Fest shows, and I'll try to post those like as soon as I know them. But definitely Ari's show Tuesday night and the week after.
And what is Ari's show called?
It's a storytelling show.
And where is it at?
I don't know. I don't
so
know.
So it's in Montreal.
It's in Montreal.
Just if you want to find it, ask Ari Shaffir, A-R-I-S-H-A-F-F-I-R, on Twitter. Ask him, and he'll tell you what the fuck is up. I'm proud of Ari. He's doing a lot of shit.
Dude, he's doing
a lot of
great.
These shows.
And you can tell, like, he's really, like striding in his lane. Like, he's really fucking blowing up.
And his stand-up is getting better, too. Everything's coming together.
He's doing fantastic. The week after, though, I'll be in Denver at the Denver Improv.
Oh, shit, son.
August 4th through the 7th.
Are you traveling with your wife or who you
No, with? I don't know who I'm working with. I just know that I'm doing it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do they have you headlining there?
Yeah.
You better. Yeah. Those dirty bitches.
Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun.
So, man. Paramount Theater, September 23rd, Joe Diaz returns to Colorado.
Oh,
they tried
God.
To blacklist him. We would not allow it. This Sunday, Michael Chiavello will be doing a podcast with me. So Brian's coming.
Oh, I love
me.
Mike.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And he's going to hang out at the house and his missus was going to hang out with my missus, and we're going to throw down on a fucking
they're
podcast.
They're great, man.
Yeah.
They're great.
They're super cool.
I saw them in Melbourne, and he took me to a very beautiful bathroom.
A beautiful bathroom?
Yeah, I have him tell you about it.
Okay.
It was nice.
He's a great guy. I love that dude. So that's it for this week. Next week, we got on the 27th, Giorgio Tsoukalos from Ancient Aliens is going to be on the podcast, and I'm fucking fired up for that. And we got a bunch of other people that we're going to try to get in here. There's a few fighters, a few comics, a few different things. Brian Ebersole, I think he's going to do it. I got to talk to him, and we're going to get Mayhem back as soon as Mayhem's done filming The Ultimate Fighter. And we got a lot of shit going down, bitches. And the new studio, which we should be moving into very soon. I gotta. As soon as I'm done here, I'm going right there. I'm looking at shit.
Right.
So that's you going to come with me, bitch?
I can't.
Come on. Son,
you have a new studio.
We're gonna make a new studio. We're gonna make a studio we're gonna do something in an actual office building.
No shit.
Yeah, man. I can't keep doing this in my office. My kids are in the background screaming. I feel like a douchebag dad that I want them to be quiet in their own house.
Yeah.
In one way, it's kind of cool because I like hearing like little kids screams in the background every now and then.
Well, right now we're at,
but I can't bring any skanks over the house either. Let's be honest, ladies and gentlemen. That's part of the program.
Part of the program
is I can't bring any skanks over here. Mrs. Rogan doesn't like it. The only time we've had skanks, excuse me, questionable people, we did it over at Brian's house. Yeah. So.
Well, now you know who you are.
Yeah. So, Andy Dick.
That's right.
That's how the cookie crumbles, hookers. All right. Listen, love you guys. Can't wait for Pasadena Ice House this weekend. According to the website, it's sold out, but if you go there.
Word.
You know, who the fuck knows? There might be some tickets laying around. Call them. What the fuck do I know? Can't wait to see everybody. And I'll see you Sunday. All right. Love you. Come on. Give me a kiss.
Peace.
And if you like the Fleshlight.
Yes. Oh, that's right. I always forget. The Joe Rogan Experience podcast was brought to you by the Fleshlight. If you go to joerogan.net and click on the link for the Fleshlight, and you enter in the code name Rogan, you will get 15% off the number one sex toy for men. And then what you do is you take it and you open up the box and you stick your penis inside of it. And you go like this. And then you go to sleep.
It's the best.
It's the best. So we love you. We hope you love us back. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.